The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Holy crap. Boy, it really hit the fan yesterday. The Patriots losing Wes Welker to the Denver Broncos and then quickly signing Danny Amendola. We've got a whole lot to talk about.
I already
about.
Have an argument. You're one sentence in and I have a like debate. Did they lose him to the Denver Broncos?
Sure. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So they could not have gotten him back. They lost him. The Denver Broncos took him from you.
Or
the Denver Broncos swooped in and said, opportunity's knocking, and I'm answering
the
door.
I'm going to talk about that in a second. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And I have to say, guys, we have more pre-mails than we've ever had for any show we've ever done.
Hopefully you'll read some of them.
You know?
And it's not like this is our first controversial transaction or move, or, you know, we've had Seymours, we've had Vinatieri's, we've had a lot of these over the years where franchise legends were sort of jettisoned.
Yeah. When I read the first tweet from Adam Schefter yesterday saying that Welker had signed with the Broncos 2 years, $12 million, I couldn't believe it. I had assumed it was incorrect.
I thought it was per year.
It was per year.
Yeah.
Turns out it's $6 million a year. And so my initial reaction was shock.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, the
rightly so.
The Patriots,
but now he's on board.
Now he's
a
on
few
board.
Hours
probably,
the
yeah.
Patriots couldn't do this. I couldn't believe it. I mean, certainly this guy's worth $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then we get into the details. The Patriots had an offer on the table: 2 years, $10 million with incentives. Those incentives were based on his past performance, so they would have counted against the cap, and which would have made it about $8 million a year. You know, so
do we know exactly what those incentives were?
I don't know. Exactly.
I mean, I should say that. Do we know what was reported that those incentives were?
No.
Okay.
No. So anyway, there was that deal. But here's what happened, and this is what I found out. And Mike Reese pretty much hit it on the head. So obviously his sources must be very close to mine. You know, when that deal, the $5 million a year deal, was given, it was basically, see you later, we're gone.
From the Welker camp.
From the Welker camp. We're gone. You know, his agent,
David Dunn.
You've seen The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they had Amendola sitting in the wings, and they moved on him. And they committed to the guy. By the time Welker's camp got back yesterday, the commitment had already been made to Amendola. So, you know, there's a lot of reports that the Patriots didn't give them a chance to match, that they didn't give the Patriots a chance to match. There's truth in both that, you know, it was made pretty clear that it was done. They were gone, the Welker camp. And so the Patriots said, well, you know, we've got to sign Amendola. And they did that. And by the time Welker's camp got back to the Patriots yesterday, the commitment had already been made to Amendola. It was too late. You know, so it was a matter of timing.
I don't buy it completely, Fred.
You don't?
I don't. Because if they really wanted him, they wouldn't have given him an incentive-laden deal. They would have given him the $8 million that they offered him last year.
Yeah.
And they would have said, this is what we want for you, just like we wanted for you last year. Go and test the market if you like. And if he goes and tests it and realizes, oh, I can only get $6 million from the Broncos or $7 million from the Titans, I might as well just stay in New England where my bread has been buttered the last 6 years.
And
if they really wanted him, they would have done that.
If they really wanted him. Now, question is, if their plan is to, you know, work really hard to not make him the focus of the offense like he has been, is he worth $8 million?
He was worth $9.5 million last year. And he wasn't the focus until the tight ends got hurt.
Well,
or one of them got hurt, at least.
They were forced to pay him $9.5 million because that was the franchise tag. I don't.
But
think
they wouldn't have tagged him if they didn't think he was worth it.
And they wouldn't have tagged.
They didn't use the tag this year.
They felt, I think, that they were forced to do that because they didn't want to lose him, and they couldn't lose him at that point.
Why?
Why didn't they want to lose him?
Why couldn't they lose him? Why could they lose him?
Oh, they didn't have a replacement last year for him.
I thought everyone said Julian Edelman was the next great Wes Welker.
Well, right.
I thought Jeremy Ebert was the next great Wes Welker.
And I thought Amendola was a restricted free agent who was at Patriot Place.
No, but they were still trying to negotiate.
I think so, yeah.
They were still trying to negotiate with Wes Welker. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that Wes Welker's agent isn't exactly the easiest guy to negotiate.
That's
a lot
question
of this was
I have.
Personal.
David Dunn is his agent. But by all accounts, Brian Murphy? Is that the one? There's a local guy, a guy with local connections who was sort of the point man on this negotiation. I mean, there were reports that, I believe it was last year, he went to a meeting that was supposedly about Welker, and he got there, and it was him and Floyd Reese, and he was upset that this is supposed to be a high-level meeting where we could do a deal here, and yet no Robert Kraft, no Bill Belichick, nobody that can actually, you know, do the deal.
Right.
You know, Floyd Reese probably didn't have the ability to finalize a deal at that point, and that he was upset. Now, when you say that, I mean, was David Dunn involved in this at the end, or was it this other guy?
I don't know.
Brian Murphy.
I don't know.
I think it's Brian Murphy,
yeah.
A local guy who works with David Dunn.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that is another kind of layer to this. Because David Dunn has a lot of other clients, including Patriots. I mean, you know, I don't think he wants to go down the road of, oh, the Patriots don't deal with David Dunn because he did something or underhanded or.
Yeah, now, I know the Patriots are a little miffed. They feel like a deal should have been done last year. You know, they feel that there's no reason why a deal shouldn't have been done last year, and had it not been for some stubbornness, it would have been. They were then had
sure to, David Dunn actually has the exact same feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure
the opposite way.
I'm just saying the Patriots side,
right?
And then they franchised him because they didn't want to lose him, and then they had this deal here, which, you know, say what you want, they probably correctly gauged the slot receiver market as we've seen now. But
the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots. But, you know, I can understand, well, yeah, but this is Wes Welker, and he means more to you. This isn't a case where maybe the player is more valuable to you than he is to other teams, and maybe you are willing to give him a little bit more.
Okay, since
I think the Patriots would have been willing, you know, they were willing to give him more than $5 million a year. They weren't willing to give him, you know, guaranteed 8 or 9.
Since you're the one with all the sources on this show, why did this come down to Tuesday/Wednesday and the timing? In another year, I could buy that story, but there was the 3-day window in advance of that.
Right.
Shouldn't the David Dunn, Brian Murphy, Wes Welker camp have already had an idea of what was out there? Why did it have to reach the point where it was already free agency? The
right.
Patriots have to move. Shouldn't this have kind of transpired a little bit Sunday, Monday-ish?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you ask the Patriots side, they'd say, we agree with that. Why didn't it?
Oh, okay.
You know, blame his agent. I think that
I feel like we need a David Dunn representative in this little conversation.
Is that where we're going minutes into the show?
I think a lot of people are saying, well, the Patriots didn't want Wes Welker. They clearly didn't want him.
That's the vibe you get from this. That is no question that
right.
From afar, the interpretation of this is they didn't really want Wes Welker.
Plan A was they did want Wes Welker, but they wanted him at their price.
Right.
And that is the point where, well, then they really didn't want him, you know, because they weren't willing to budge.
And I agree with that.
Yeah. But they would have budged a little bit. You know,
So you are of the belief that 2 years, $12 million pre-Amendola commitment
would have gotten it done.
He could have gotten that deal here.
But he wouldn't have accepted that from the Patriots as an offer. See, that's the thing.
I will give you this.
How do we know that?
He wasn't willing to take anything like that until he realized that's what's out there.
But he already knew that was out there from the 3 days that he had to talk to everybody. He knew what his options were.
And that's negotiated.
They never got back to the Patriots till yesterday.
But let's look at the deal. You're offering 2 years, $10 million. The best he got, according to reports, is 2 years, $15 million on the open market with the Titans. You're telling me he would not have split the difference and said 2 years, $12
million? Maybe.
But you just said he wouldn't have taken that here.
If the Patriots offer on the table before he went out to talk to the Broncos was that, he would have said no.
No, but it wasn't. It was 2-10.
I know, but even if it was 2-12, he would have said no until he found out what was going on out there.
That's why I have a problem with all this timing.
Until he found out, I think he already knew.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they were insulted by the 2-10. I think they were insulted.
They should have been.
And I think they left the table.
Like when he chimes in.
They left the table.
Just to let everybody know, of the four of us, Eric is clearly the most upset with
this whole chain
of events.
I think they left the table.
He's a louver.
They left the table with the clear impression that Seal, sayonara, we're done.
Yeah, the
Patriots moved on.
Fred, there's one part I will agree with you on, and I think that is not really enough has been made of it. I don't think Welker is scot-free in this. And I do think that there's an element of him that didn't want to be back. I'm not blaming anyone here. And this is I've been very quiet
so far. Not the
agent
like Fred.
I hate this. I hate when there's a really, really important turn of events that I really don't find someone necessarily to side with or side against. Andy and I have been talking all along about the whole unfortunate circumstance that is Welker and how he tore his ACL in 2009. Okay? That's basically how we got here. Otherwise, he would have gotten a long-term big money extension in the prime of his career. That injury prevented that and got us here. I don't necessarily think that Welker wanted to be back here at all costs, or I don't think it would have been a $2 million difference to get him to sign somewhere else. And I don't necessarily agree. I agree with Eric a little bit. I don't think the Patriots were all that hot to make sure that they retained Welker. They gave him an offer that they knew he was going to say no to. That's the way I look at it. I don't think he necessarily wanted to be back, and I don't think they necessarily wanted him back. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't really blame anybody.
I kind of agree with you the way I thought this would play out, that they get 2 years, $10 million is they don't think it's a serious offer even when they give it. But when he ends up only getting 2-12, you think they said, whew, we skated there. That was close to being a competitive offer.
Based on
the market?
They might have. They might have said, oh, boy, what happens if he says yes? I don't think that they wanted him to say yes. I don't.
I agree with you, Paul.
Now, I'm not.
I think they wanted to.
I'm not killing anyone.
They wanted some CYA just so they could go out in public and say, oh, we offered him a deal.
And that's
the
whole thing. Like, oh,
and it
well,
worked
you
out
know,
actually he, better for them in that it was a competitive offer.
And the whole thing he told us
they
to.
They probably didn't expect it to be.
Right. That's what I think. You know, like Paul and I were talking, you know, 3 years, 20-something million with.
I was stunned by how low.
$15 million guaranteed or you know, something like that. Then their offer isn't competitive. Then they have a little egg on their face that you really didn't try to keep them. The way it played out. You had a competitive offer on the table.
Yep.
It wasn't the
like
best.
Like the Tennessee offer was
15.
Two and 15.
Reportedly.
I would have thought that he'd sign for something like that with a team that he thought was good, but that a Tennessee would give him like a,
well, we give him
you know, like,
million
a, like
or,
a 3 and
whatever.
25
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm stunned that the highest offer he got was still sort of modest. But, you know, who knows? Who knows the whole thing? But I don't think that what I mean, like, people, we were talking about this this morning when we were taping All Access, and they were saying that, you know, West really wanted to come back. And I'm like, I don't think that that's really accurate. You know, I don't think that he was, listen, I don't think the money was all that different. I think that there was respect that he wanted. And if that's what ultimately chose, if you said, well, I'm going to take $12 million to go here instead of $10 million to go there, then you didn't just want to go back. It was important to you to go back at your cost.
Sure.
But that's why I get
I think both
the timing.
Sides were in that same thing.
Because it's
the
just
Patriots
such a small
that's where
difference.
I don't buy the timing. I don't understand
I agree
how
with you,
he
Andy.
Didn't know on Tuesday that all that was going to be out there was $12 million.
And I think he
Somebody
did.
Wasn't doing their job or something. To me, he should have known at that point, just so you know, Wes, those dreams you had of $32 million, dead.
Well, there was a reason why they got back to the Patriots yesterday. It's because they now were willing to say, okay – is there room for wiggle?
Yeah, but that means they screwed the pooch in the 3-day window.
Possibly.
Legal tampering. I don't know what they were doing or how they were doing, unless they didn't buy it. They thought teams were lowballing them.
I don't know. I think may have happened.
There's
Andy.
A piece missing to this, and to me, it's the 3-day tampering window.
I think that they might have gotten into that. And right. They might have said, you know what? These teams, they're all interested in us, but they're not going to give us a big offer because they just assume we're going right. back to the Patriots.
They don't want to be used.
And I think that's what happened. And remember, Fred, I think I said to you, on Wednesday morning, when there was that report that there was a lot, I think Albert Breer had said something on the Sports Hub that morning, saying how there was a ton of interest in Welker during that tampering period, and they were surprised with how much interest there was. And then Tutcher and Rich said, "Well, you know, who was coming after him? Who was giving him the most heat?" And Breer said, "Well, that's kind of hard to factor down right now." And to me, and I don't know if I talked to you, I might have talked to Maddie No Sox about this. To me, it all boils down to that was kind of reeking of agent speak.
Right. The agent told him there's a ton of interest. Right.
Oh, we got a lot of interest, Andy. Right. A lot of interest.
Because had
there.
It come from teams, he would have been able to say,
well,
you know,
this
Green
one, this
Bay,
one, and
or,
this
you know,
one.
I think these. You know, he was being used by an agent.
He was. I think that there was some talk about how much interest there was out there, but there wasn't really. I think they were trying to make the Patriots think, you got to up this offer. Because I think he would have re-signed. I don't think he wanted out of New England.
I don't either.
But I think he wanted to be in New England
sure, at a reasonable
price.
Yeah,
exactly. If all things were equal, I think he wanted out.
He wanted to be wanted. And he
Bingo.
Wasn't wanted. Yeah. Well, he was barely wanted in
Oh,
Denver.
Yeah, when it comes down.
But that's why I say, I think all things being equal, he wanted out.
Look, but it sounded
he
like that,
more
it sounded
to
like,
stay here.
No matter what.
Oh,
sounded,
no, I think at the end he did.
No but, matter what these guys say, they all want respect, and respect equals dollars.
Well, correct. But it sounded like Denver did their homework as to what the market might be.
Well, that's how I think.
But it sounds like the Patriots did, too.
No, it sounds to me like the Patriots were thinking, you know what, let's just throw him a lowball offer. There's no way anyone's going to come close to matching that. Then we can say we offered him something, and he'll take the money and run elsewhere, and we'll be scot-free. And, you know what? If the other offers are lowball from the other teams, we're going to look like, you know, well, we were trying to be competitive. It's a no lose for this team. That's how they're going to spin it.
No, it is a lose if all the other offers were blowing us out of the water. It's a lose. You look like cheapos.
But see, I think you look worse this way.
Yeah.
No, I
when,
don't.
When
yeah.
you lose a guy over
oh,
two,
I don't.
When
exactly.
you lose a guy over two,
when you lose someone over
me,
a little bit like that, at least you can say, "Well, we're not
you're
willing
right,
to."
You're right, Paul. I think
if someone offered him 5-31,
no.
Then see, you say, "Well, we weren't even
but
in
you're
that ballpark."
You're missing the thing, though. You're right, Paul. If you had a chance to match that, and then you refused to match
it. Well, did he have a chance to match it or not?
No.
Well, Reese said he did.
No.
So he didn't have it. The Patriots didn't. He didn't go back to the Patriots. For the
well,
chance
after
did,
Amendola was
on.
Committed to.
Okay, so he didn't have a chance
they
to match
waited
it.
Till yesterday.
Well, he got the offer yesterday.
Now, wait a minute. When you say committed to
Amendola. We waited till yesterday.
When you say committed to Amendola.
Reached
well,
an
did
agreement.
Did that mean? Well, but so he hadn't actually inked the deal?
Yeah, but you don't back
you
out. Don't,
you can't
if
commit
to a player.
If you've reached
an agreement, you don't back out.
It's happened before?
Yeah, and
no,
it's
I
not
agree.
Good it's, for business.
I agree with that. You don't do that.
Not because of better for injury.
I'm confused in this semantics.
But not because, something else came about.
I'm confused.
If you really wanted Wes Welker, he would still be here. Period.
Well, yeah, that's the bottom line. If you really wanted him, you would have made sure you had him.
Yep.
At all costs, you're right.
And they didn't.
At all costs, you're right. But
not all costs. They didn't have to do all costs.
But you said they should have given him like $8-9 million a year.
No, not 8 or 9. They offered him 8 last year for a long-term contract. They should have gone to him and said, look, we feel exactly the way we do about you this year as we did last year. Here's the same offer.
Well, maybe.
And it would have been better than anybody else offered him, and he would still be here.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. That's $2 million more than the Broncos offered and more than the Titans were offering. He'd still be here.
Yeah, but how do you know that if they had offered him 8, then the Broncos just wouldn't have given him 9?
Well, then you get into a bidding war, and then you can say, well, all right, then you have a legitimate reason to say, oh, you know what, that's a little too rich for us.
What would the harm be of
and
that
what would the happen? Harm be of that?
Nothing, but I'm
you
just saying.
Least, you look better because you look like price. You're trying to compete
but,
with
but
the,
I'm just
with
saying,
other teams.
No, they would have had the same thing. You really didn't want them, you know. It all
not nearly least, as much as now.
But at least you made the other team spend more than
exactly.
it wanted to.
You know, I'm saying you're right, Eric, that if they had offered him 8, you know, it might have been more of a sign that they really wanted him. There's no doubt that the Patriots wanted him, but they wanted him at a price, like they've done with a lot of players that have left here.
Well,
you know,
like all teams mostly.
Yeah,
do.
Like all teams do. They
yeah,
have.
I have no problems with.
Yeah,
Patriots
they have a
here,
value for the player. And, you know, this goes back again to that whole talk about the offense. If you honestly feel that we got to get away from, you know, Wes Welker, you know, being the focus of this offense because we become beatable in big games, then, okay, then the price for Wes Welker goes down. And that's tough. That's tough business. That's tough business.
But then you replaced him with Amendola.
Well, yeah, but you replaced him at this, about the price that you were willing to pay Welker.
Right, but the price is, I mean, they're all being paid similar. Aaron Hernandez is going to be the focal point. What's he making? 5 years, $37 million extension, right?
Oh, but,
so he made $7
million. Okay, but you're
they're
not
all gonna, the same price
but Victor
range.
Cruz isn't going to get paid that.
We don't have Victor Cruz.
I'm just saying.
Let's leave pie in the
that,
sky
that
out
type,
of the argument.
That type of player, you know, and what he does on a, on an offense. I'm just saying. You
That's
have,
my point. Aaron Hernandez, we thought, was going to be the Welker, a slot 100-catch guy last year. You gave him 5 years, $37 million, $7 million. So they're all in the same basic price range. Welker, Amendola, Hernandez. The money is all being spent in that area, correct?
Yeah.
So you picked who you wanted.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really about money.
Yeah. I do think that if they had gotten back a day earlier, Wes Welker would still be a
Patriot.
Well,
that's my problem with this to some degree is, A, the three-day tampering. Somebody blew the goat there and shouldn't have. Something went wrong there.
I think it screwed the pooch.
Whatever. And
it would have been a little less vile.
Yes. And then
well,
the
not,
other aspect.
Not all that much.
I said a little.
Yeah, why is that less vile?
not less.
Now we're rating bestiality.
No, I think he can say screwed.
If you screw him, it's okay, but don't blow him. Anyway.
That's a word I don't
he
like.
He has to do it again.
Yeah, right.
And then the other aspect is this whole I always thought negotiations were like offers and counteroffers, back and forths. How come everybody seems to storm away from the table like disrespectful?
Good question.
They go 2-10 and Welker's camp comes back with, okay, 2-17.
Good question.
And the Patriots come back with, we can do 2-13.
Good question.
To me that
it seems like everybody gets disrespected and runs away and says, oh, no, I can't go back there.
You know,
and that's
the other
thing. Only one side of the story.
Put your balls away and get your, like, pen out and just, like,
but that's the other thing. You know, the 2-10, with the incentives, it was more like 8.
Right.
You know, and 2.
Maybe.
And those incentives were based on past performance, so they're likely to be earned. So they do count against the
cap. That's how they're characterized.
No, but that's.
But he's likely to catch 115 balls unless he only plays in 9 games.
Unless they don't start him like they did start last
year. Whether or not he actually gets the money, the Patriots are on the books for that against the cap. So they
get it back the next year.
But you get it back when he doesn't reach it.
But they were willing to commit to those dollars.
But they're not committing
to anything.
Again,
but they're not. Dollars that they're spending.
From Wes Welker, I want you to commit to my pocket, not your salary cap, you'll get rolled over into the next year.
You're missing the point, though, because more than if they don't reach those incentives,
no, I know.
You get the cap space back the next year. And by the way, you never spend the money out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah, that's the
it's
point.
It's cap dollars,
it's cap
not
dollars.
Real dollars.
It's cap
and
dollars.
And all Wes cares
so it's
about
good
is
for
dollars
the
in my pocket.
Right. Yeah. Wes gets nothing unless he continues to catch 100 and whatever many passes.
Well, we don't know what the incentives
assuming
were, but
that
yeah,
those were those,
I'm assuming
those,
it's
you know.
Based on like 100 catches or
and
1,000
you're,
yards
and if you're
or
Wes,
something like that.
You can understand some hesitation
sure,
because
especially
you
when
saw
you have mild
the,
disdain.
Yeah,
yes.
You saw, well, somewhat mild disdain.
Oh, sorry, somewhat
mild disdain. You say you saw what happened at the beginning of last year if you're Wes.
Right, no, I can understand that.
And I can't control how many passes I catch.
Right.
They do. They have the control.
Well,
they don't,
according to you. Because you'd say you got to take Welker away from Brady for Brady to evolve.
Well,
that's
certainly
a Brady problem.
When they started the season, he certainly didn't throw it to Wes.
Yeah.
That was the plan, right? The first game, when everybody was out there, he didn't throw it to Wes.
So then why do we have to get rid of Wes to evolve the offense?
That's a good question. That's what they decided. We need to do it. Because I don't think the offense is going to evolve. I think it's just going to have different people in the similar roles.
But will it devolve?
No.
And do you still think
as long as Brady's here,
Victor Cruz is an option?
I think it's a low percentage option.
They're not going to give another receiver a lot of. They just gave a receiver $31 million. They're not giving another one more than that.
They're going to draft Terrence Williams, and I'm going to be happy.
Okay. All right.
Does anybody disagree with that? They gave him
They're
Mendolara.
Not going to give another big money. They're going to sign a couple receivers.
Yeah. I mean,
a couple $1 or $2 million, you know, Welker types.
Yeah.
Low-end receivers.
But Amendola got $31 million. 5 years, $31 million for Amendola. I don't think they're going to give more than that to something like Greg Jennings. I don't think they're going to, you know, I would love to see that happen.
Unless
and I would be a lot more excited.
If the market falls out and Jennings comes and says, I'll do 1 year, $7.5 million, I think they would consider something like that.
Yeah.
Because he's an outside guy and they're looking and it's a low risk.
A 1 year thing for short money. Yeah. I don't think that Greg Jennings is going to get that.
Probably not.
I think if he's going to do that, he would just re-sign with Green Bay.
Could be. The other aspect here, according to my sources, is, Amendola is a little, disheartened. by the reaction he's getting kind of personally, like kind of venom thrown his way in this kind of uproar that he's coming into.
He's in a tough spot, this kid.
I mean, very but not really.
Very everything he
the
does,
only spot for him is health.
Everything he does is going to be compared to Wes Welker. And unless the offense just keeps chugging along, you know, they're going to point at him as the reason why.
But if he's healthy, he's going to catch a lot of passes and he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
The fans will love him. They'll buy his jersey.
Right.
And they'll move on. But if he gets hurt, you know, he pulls a hamstring in training camp, misses 2 weeks, he's going to be in a poop storm.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And I kind of feel for him because by all accounts, he's a good kid. He's a nice kid, a hard worker. Just
yeah. I want him to succeed. Let's be clear. I shouldn't speak for all of you, but I mean, I want him to succeed. I don't want him to do badly, but I just feel like the expectations for him are going to be so high that he's Welker's replacement, and people are going to be disappointed if he gets hurt.
And I've already tried to defuse that.
If he gets hurt, like Andy said, it's going
to
be.
And I feel bad because we talked to him at the combine when he first came out, and we were all like, you know, Texas Tech guy following Welker. The comparisons were made way back then. And we thought, oh, you know, he's a decent kid, pretty good receiver, but even at that time, he wasn't Wes Welker.
Right.
And Wes was just starting to become Wes. And he still isn't. And I think that's why people are just expecting too much right now.
And that's why I still think it's Hernandez. To me, this shifts the focus solely on Hernandez. You got your extension. You got your $37 million. You were going to be the focal point of the offense. You're going to get another chance. You're the one now working out in California with Tom Brady. There's a lot of ways you've just slid into that Welker role.
Yeah.
Oh, except for the fact you don't stay on the field, you don't catch the ball. The two major aspects of being Wes Welker. And that I think it's all on his shoulders. I think Amendola from afar, you know, sort of the spotlight of media, the swap. But in reality, I think it's all on Hernandez.
Yeah.
Stay healthy and catch it.
You could be right. Both those tight ends, really.
And I think he realizes
Well, a little differently. Rob Gronkowski, when he doesn't break his arm,
has been a dominant beast.
But as far as
Aaron Hernandez, when he has a woo-boo-boo-boo in his ankle, has been dropping balls left and right.
Even when he's on the field, he's inconsistent.
Gronkowski's going to be dependent to keep up that level.
Well, yeah, but that's no matter
what.
I think that's why you gave him $50 million.
I think he's capable of doing that.
People also forget that Gronk was on pace to do the same thing.
He was on a great pace. Yep.
Even with the injury, he still had like three of the best seasons in NFL history right there.
I know.
And even with times where we sat there.
And even with his offseason last year.
It seems like he's having a slow start.
Early in the year, I thought that there were times where he looked like he was beat up. Now, see, my bigger concern with Gronk is back to our square one for our draft podcasts when, you know, you liked him more than anybody, but Eric and I liked Gronk as well. Andy was totally in love with him, but we had reservations about the way he was going to play and his durability. And
you're so negative. Fred doesn't like you to talk about
that. I remember we had a talk during his rookie year, and I think, Andy, you brought up the whole thing is he's going to need to change the way he plays. You know, that, you know, dragging guys every last yard and taking every last hit.
That's when Fred yelled at me for being negative.
Right. And I think, you know, some of the hip problems and the various things, I think you're going to see him really take a pounding physically. And I don't know how long. I mean, does anybody think that he's going to be like Tony Gonzalez and be able to play, you know?
But nobody's Tony Gonzalez.
More than 10 years? I
would just like him to be 10 years. Jason Witten gets to like.
I don't think he's going to get there.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being the best tight end ever. Statistically, like Tony Gonzalez. I'm talking about
durability.
A long career.
No, but I'm just saying, like, Tony Gonzalez caught 100 passes in year, whatever ridiculous year
it was
last year.
Yeah, I know, in double digits.
And
he's
Gronk
coming back
again.
Gronk
is not going to get there.
Yeah.
Gronk is never going to get there. It's just not going to happen. There's too many factors that can go against
him. I mean, when he was playing last year, and I hate the, you know, when people say he's injury prone.
Yeah, that's unfair. That's unfair.
Comparing, like, him and, you know, Amendola or Hernandez, to me,
Edelman, right,
you know, it's not fair.
And especially when Gronk toughed it through in the Super Bowl, when we all knew he needed surgery, he was not 100%. He played through that. He came back he came back too early from the broken arm this past year. He's tried to fight through all these injuries that he's had, and even when he didn't have those major injuries, he was playing through pain. We knew that. He was listed on the injury report almost every week. To say that is very unfair.
But
to characterize him as,
you know, like Andy brought up the point, like, you know, with this exaggeration of Hernandez, ooh, boo-boo in my ankle.
Yeah, I know.
But he was clearly
affected. The guy with a boo-boo in his ankle.
They rushed him back, too.
But he was clearly affected by those problems in some of the games that he played, and he wasn't anywhere near as productive.
Right.
Now, Gronk didn't have a productive Super Bowl with that bad ankle problem, but he's had, as Eric just pointed out, numerous things that have been bothering him in terms of the injury report, and you could physically see him, but maintained his excellence in playing, catching the ball in traffic, catching
even
touchdowns.
Even when rushed back. The first game rushed back against Miami, he caught the ball. And then the next time, he catches it and breaks his arm catching it.
But I mean, that play, I don't think it's like, anywhere near the amount of attention. He was out of bounds. That was an unbelievable catch that he made that didn't count.
Like, if he was Randy Moss, there's a good chance he wouldn't have broken the arm because he wouldn't have made the effort to make the catch out of bounds and wouldn't land it. I wouldn't have broken his arm.
True. All right.
We can say that now. There's enough time that's passed since Randy Moss has left.
And that also comparison to Hernandez or some of these other guys. I'm careful on Amendola because the shoulder injury he had last year was massive. I mean, there were reports that he could have died. It was like a major, you know, not just a twisted ankle. But
That was later in the year he missed the game with a bad heel.
Don't tell me Welker couldn't have missed games last year with that ankle.
Right.
When he was limping off, limping back on, limping off, getting up slow, limping up. I mean, clearly he was doing whatever it took to be on the field. Maybe that's contract related. Maybe he was saying, I can't get hurt in my contract year. Maybe I'm giving him a little too much credit for being sort of just a gamer, but he's never missed time. He's always been that guy.
Three games in 6 years, right?
I'm sure he's seen a Toradol needle a couple times in his career.
To me, that's the biggest thing when you're comparing these two guys.
It's the durability. Only thing. It's the only thing that matters first and foremost. You can't compare ability, yards after catch, catches, until you compare, is he going to play every week like Welker did? That starts there and builds.
Right.
But I'm going to do what Andy just said we can't do.
Oh, good.
And, you know, looking at the cat, like, I'm even going to say if he's healthy, listen, maybe he'll turn into something more, and I don't pretend to watch every St. Louis Rams game, but I have seen him play plenty of times, and you know guys that I don't think a tremendous amount of well. I mean, we exaggerated it, you know, so Andy could have fun with me last week about what I think of
Welker. You were right. Nobody wanted Welker. They weren't willing to pay him. Paul was right. He stinks. Bottom of the roster guy.
After eight years or whatever, Paul's right. I thought I would leave that.
Loose
change.
I thought I would leave that to the end of the show. Clearly, the rest of the league agreed with me.
Yes.
You're going to have a last call?
Pretend you're still in the
middle. Welker is incredibly consistent, and he catches the ball, but I wouldn't call him overly dynamic, okay, even at his best. He's a 10, 11-yard catch guy. Doesn't catch a lot of
touchdowns. Occasionally he makes
doesn't
a
catch
flashy
a lot of,
play.
Doesn't catch a lot of touchdowns.
99 yards.
Right? You know. Doesn't catch a lot of touchdowns.
Like a bread bath.
Right?
He had that decent catch in Seattle for
his numbers absolutely blow away Amendola's in terms of yards per catch is about 3 yards more.
Pretty much everything.
Touchdowns, Amendola has 7 in his career.
Amendola's best season, 2010, was
8.1 yards
per
catch.
One catch worse than Welker's worst year as a Patriot.
Coming off an ACL.
And, same season.
You know, another thing.
I know it's different. Even though I think he's making a lateral move in terms of quarterback play.
But it's another thing. Oh. But you just touched on something. That's another thing that I've heard a lot. Well, Welker, this is what Welker was when he was. Sam Bradford may not be worthy of being the number one overall pick, but don't tell me he's not light years better than what Wes Welker was playing with.
Right.
In Miami with Dante Culpepper on one knee and Cleo Lemon and, you know, those kinds of guys. That was what, I mean, I don't even know every single guy that played for Miami. They had a string of quarterbacks. I think Gus Frerotte was there once, Sage Rosenfeld. They never had anything when Welker was there. Sam Bradford is a competent player. I mean, he might not be a star. He might not be worthy of the number one pick that Andy, you know, called him the Sanchez
probably
and all that stuff.
Probably not going to the Hall of Fame, like I said.
But I don't think that this is a guy that was like, you know, just toiling in obscurity because no one, it's not like Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona who's just had nobody to throw him the ball. I think people are overrating that. And like Eric said, 85 catches that year, he averaged 8.1 yards a catch. Do you know how hard that is to average that little yards per catch? Am I the only one that cares about that number? Because you guys seem to dismiss it. All you guys care about is the reception total.
No, I care about the yards.
Oh,
per
I care
catch.
About that. Oh, well, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I care about
like everybody says how great his yak is.
I don't mind eight yards a catch. You know, this goes back to Brendan Lloyd. I don't mind 8 yards a catch if you're catching 80% of the balls. You know, then you're a possession receiver.
I have a big problem with it.
I do.
You know,
why not just run the ball?
Yeah,
you're going to get four anyway.
Well,
not a fan of that.
Take away the risk.
Well,
one thing I would ask is, you know, as maybe their best receiver. You know, how was he treated? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there are other aspects that go into it. you know, how will he be now that Hernandez and Gronkowski are here and he's sort of one of three and, you know, all of that. That, I think, bears watching. You know, he got hurt on a deep ball. I think they threw the ball deep to him a little bit more than Welker has over the years.
I don't know about
that. No, they absolutely, that's absolutely true.
You think so? They threw deep more? Because
I didn't say they completed him.
Not a lot, not a lot, but he's more of an outside threat, I think, than
Welker's big plays were rarely deep balls. Like 99 yards was a 15-yard play.
Right.
Whatever.
He got,
Amendola, I've watched games where they've used him as a deep guy. You know,
I saw one that he caught last year in the tie game against San Francisco. Now, it got called back. But it was got called back for an illegal formation, so it didn't have anything to do with the play. But it was in overtime. They threw an 80-yard bomb to him, and it was just flat out. He ran by the guy.
I think there's a chance he offers something there, but he's never proven it. Because you can't be that
if you're not on the field.
No. Yeah. Beyond that, you can't be that and average 8 yards a catch. Because one of those would, like, triple your average.
Exactly. Right. Like Wes last, the 2 years ago when he had the 99-yarder.
When Paul gave him
$55 million. For a while, he was averaging, like, you know, 28 yards
right
a catch, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw a story on CBS Sports, I think, Dana Holgorsen, who coached both of them at Texas Tech, said, he was talking about how it's unfair to compare him because Welker's been so much more accomplished and blah, blah, blah. But he did say that he thought that they are different players and that Amendola can give you some things outside that Welker might not be able to. And
Assuming he can
be on the field.
Back to the injuries, right.
Yeah. I just don't think that they're comparable players if he's healthy. Now, you throw in the durability and it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
But they're rolling the dice and saying he's going to be healthy, clearly. One programming note, our friends over at Comcast, did you see they've sent Mike Giardi
to Denver.
Denver.
Yeah.
And they're going to do like Wes Welker's press conference live. So if people are interested in that, at 5:30 or later this afternoon, Comcast Sportsnet New England is going to have Wes Welker's press conference and reports.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's nice to be here.
Wouldn't it be great if he's just like opens up and just like shoot?
I think assuming he doesn't. I have a prediction. I don't really care. I have a prediction. I think you'll see several at least subtle shots at this organization.
I don't think
guarantee
you will.
It.
I don't think you'll see one.
I don't think you will either.
I think you will.
And if he doesn't, then
I smell a lunch bet. I keep trying.
He's already losing that.
I lost a lunch bet to No Sox, who bet me that Welker would sign elsewhere. I thought he would stay.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to stick it in Bill's face every once in a while.
That's what I'm talking about.
That work out for you. Well, it could work out with a Super
Bowl. Work out with a Super Bowl ring.
He's damaged his legacy.
I found it funny this week. NFL Network has a fan's choice right now. Brady, Manning, vote for your favorite moment, and they're going to air it. And I just thought with the Welker switching and they're playing this year.
Yeah.
And
the ties
Jermaine
continue.
Wiggins. Sure, he's offering a lot of insight.
Obviously, they'll
put
anybody on that show if Jermaine Wiggins is their football analyst.
All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We got the phone stacked up. I just want to caution people, keep your points brief because we need to get through that. And like I said, we have so many emails. We do need to get to them. So we'll start with Eldridge. Keep it quick.
Do you know the answer to that
Eldridge,
question?
What's up?
Hey, fellas. I do. I knew he's going to leave, but I'm kind of shocked that they gave him $10 million, but you give Amendola $31 and $10 guaranteed. And he's just like Roger Dowling, always hurt. And I'm like, I just can't see that, especially when you need somebody on the outside, too. So Hernandez and Grunt can get open and do a little more.
Okay. That's right. Good point, Eldridge.
Eldridge is right.
I mean, he makes a good point.
The durability is a huge factor.
Yes,
to me,
he's more durable than Rossi Dowling.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, we'll see. How are you
doing? What's up?
Not much. I'm just trying to figure out: do you all feel a priority need, like kind of in the draft? Now I know we talked a lot about, let's say, maybe trying to wait to get a receiver, maybe in the third round. Do you all feel that it's a necessity now, like we have to draft one first now the West is gone, or how do you think does that change your thinking of when they would draft a receiver, or if they even will? I know Donald Jones coming. I think it's Jones, something like that.
Yeah. Even if they get a Donald Jones, I think it, well, it depends on how the draft unfolds in the earlier part
Thanks,
of the
Eddie.
First round. But if we talked about this on Tuesday, well, Paul, you weren't here for that, but I was thinking if there's a big run on defensive end, defensive lineman, as a lot of us expect there will be, I think you'll have your choice of wide receiver or secondary talent down at the end of the first round. So I think that Patriots might have gone that route anyway.
Yeah.
But if, you know, not needing a marquee receiver on the outside they might look at that more as a pressing need.
I think so.
I'd like a receiver at least with the second round pick. Yeah, I'm not expecting
changed.
I'm not expecting the first round.
Nothing
but
has changed.
I'd like
for
a
me.
Second.
You,
yeah.
you swapped Amendola for Welker.
Right.
You need an outside receiver. You still don't know what Lloyd is going to be.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
I
to
agree.
Me, it's very similar. Now, I'm not willing to say it has to be a first round pick because there's a boatload of second round receivers if you believe draft analysts. You know, there could be four or five receivers that go in the second round. Terrence Williams, my guy, who is my top choice. I'm not taking him in the first,
no.
but I can get him in the second.
Yes.
Right. So he's slotted there. Quick trivia question. I don't know if you guys saw this. There are three people
I've been thinking about
who have caught passes from Tom Brady
I know the answer.
And Wes Welker. I do as well,
from
so I'll let
Tom Brady
the
and
bald
Manning?
People on the pan.
Is,
I mean,
is Wiggy one of them?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Jermaine
where did,
Wiggins.
Where did he play with?
Indianapolis.
When?
That was the only answer since he's been retired 5 years and Peyton only played in Indianapolis.
No. I mean... I don't remember Wiggins playing in Indianapolis.
I think before he came here.
Did that other tight end ever catch a pass from
no,
Brady?
No.
Pollard?
No. No.
Remember he
no,
came here?
No, he didn't.
But he never made the team.
Never
huh?
made it out of camp. No.
And Joe Addai never made
it's
it
out of camp. It's kind of
no,
a silly question.
Yeah. One is not a typical receiver.
It's like a running back?
Oh, Dan Klecko.
That's correct.
Oh.
And then one, you have to go all the way back to 2001.
This guy never came up big.
Yeah.
Torrance Small?
Yes, good, Paul. Wow, look at Paul with the trivia. All right, let's go.
You guys gave me a hint.
I was just about to go to Eddie in Maryland who just hung up. So
yeah, when
sorry
are we getting
and
lunch?
Who was the other guy you hung up on?
I hung up on Eddie. I was supposed to hang up on Melvin.
When are we doing lunch?
Chris with a TIAN call is
no,
calling.
No,
hey,
no,
Christian.
No one's listening to me.
Hey, guys, I'll keep it quick. I'm pretty pissed that he's gone. You know, definitely. And what really pisses me off is the owner coming out a couple of days before saying that he wants him here. They didn't want him here. Belichick didn't want him here. It's clear he didn't want him here. Kraft didn't want him here. Otherwise, they would have forked over the extra money.
Truth. Why would you say
truth,
that, though?
Christian? That's truth.
Why would you come out and paint yourself in a corner and say you want him if you really didn't want him?
I don't know. Ask him. Because
he just called you out. Yeah.
Why don't you ask him, Fred? Seriously, because I'd love to know. I'd love to answer
well,
that.
Well, I may or may not already have.
And he may or may not already get yelled at for asking it.
I think they did want him, but it was at the price, like Tom Brady. In other words, we need
33
your
million.
We
Tom
need
Brady front. Got millions guaranteed.
I'm sure that would have done the deal.
In other words,
million
we, need, up front. We need your agent to play ball.
I actually agree with you, Fred. I think this was a Belichick done disaster. However it went south, it was those two. I think as Robert said a couple weeks ago, it's, you know, the lawyers we got to keep out of it. I think Wes
right.
wants to be here, and I want him here.
Right.
I think Robert Kraft wanted him here. I think Wes Welker wanted yeah. to be here. And at the end of the day, Dunn and Belichick, it went
yeah, I
somewhere.
Think that's overly simplistic.
Or Brian
though.
Murphy.
We keep the agents out of it. You know, those agents who, you know, they actually want their clients to get some money.
Well,
so as long as we keep them out of
I
it,
I included
it's okay.
both sides. I think Belichick was the one trying to save money. And I think Dunn was the one trying to maximize money.
But why do you think Belichick's trying to save money?
Because I think that's what he does.
That's
I've said
what
it a million
does.
Times. He wouldn't buy the damn Sony DVD
no,
player
you...
because he could get the Vizio for 80% cheaper instead. That's what he does
yeah.
every freaking time he does anything.
So you think if there were no cap that he would do the same thing?
Oh, I don't know if there was no cap, but there is
well,
a cap.
As long as there's a budget, he's going to do
yeah,
that.
I yeah. think he has this economic, value-based background that would drive me nuts whether I was his team owner, his girlfriend. I mean, when she's probably like, oh, I
okay,
want the lobster,
me,
he's like,
let
oh,
me
you really
it.
Need the
forget
lobster?
About, forget my hypothetical about the cap. If he was like working for the Redskins or the
yes,
Cowboys,
yes,
think
I think
he
has
be
a certain belief
yeah,
in,
I do
in that, whatever that is.
Yes, that
frugality
philosophy.
And mm-hmm. whatever.
You might be right. I have nothing to
–
I disagree,
quickly,
but I don't know
yeah, Christian.
Just you know, it's somewhere along the line, whether it was last year when he signed the franchise tag and then he didn't get a contract or he didn't agree to the contract that Belichick and the Patriots offered him. I think at that point it got personal, and I think Belichick let it get personal, and I really don't think that's why Wes I really think that's why Wes isn't here.
I think you're onto something.
And yeah, I don't really
I do.
I don't buy that
you know,
either.
I hope I'm not right. I hope that's not the way that he runs the team, but I've seen a lot of things in the past with different players that kind of didn't go the way that he wanted them to go. And
yeah,
guys,
but others.
But that happens in every yeah. team. Whenever you, as a player,
sure.
feel you've been slighted, it's personal.
Yeah, but it's not like every time they've gotten into a pissing match with somebody, the person left.
Exactly.
I mean, Richard Seymour, Logan Mankins,
for God's sake.
Ty Law called him a liar and then said, "What's up,
What's
Bill?"
up, Bill? Like,
Logan Mankins was personal.
Under contract. When the next time he wasn't under contract, he was gone.
Well, I thought they released him after that. I thought he came back for one more year.
Mankins wasn't under contract.
That's my point. It's business. I think it's business.
All right, I'll let you go.
Mankins was good enough, so he stays, even though it was personally distasteful maybe to Robert, maybe to Bill, whoever.
Let's go to Sergio in California. Sergio, quickly.
My question was about wide receiver.
Yeah.
With Welker gone, are the chances of Lloyd staying increasing?
My answer is no.
Mine is I hope not.
I don't think anything has changed with the Brandon Lloyd situation, in my opinion.
Well, nothing has. Brandon Lloyd and what he can do.
Yeah. Maybe get like a third or fourth round pick for him.
I doubt you'd even
You wouldn't get that
much.
How
the hell are you going
to
get that?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to trade him because in order to have control of him, you're going to have to pick up that bonus. Or if you trade him now, someone's going to have to give him a bonus.
Right.
That's the contract. So,
and by the way, I mean, you weren't really bidding for his services last year.
Yeah,
he's made his way through half the franchises in the NFL.
He was a third-round pick to begin with. You're not going to get him for the same pick that he came in on.
Fred's distracted. There's a large-breasted woman on the television.
You don't think the Vikings are desperate enough?
Well,
no. Brad Childress.
The Patriots are desperate.
Why are the Vikings desperate?
How are the Patriots? How are the Vikings more desperate than the Patriots for wide receiver talent right now?
They don't have any wide receiver right now.
Neither do the Patriots, especially if they let Lloyd go.
Pro Bowl caliber tight ends and a guy they believe in.
I mean wide receiver. I'm not talking about the tight ends. I mean actual wide receivers.
You can only have five receivers on the field at any time. And so those two count. Whatever you label them, they count as pass catchers.
I count the tight ends, but I mean,
the offensive weapons that Christian Ponder has to work with are what?
I mean, if I'm the Vikings.
Other than handing off to Adrian Peterson.
If I'm the Vikings, I don't have to give a guy a $3 million bonus plus a team a draft pick to pick up a guy who's going to be Brandon Lloyd when I can just sign.
But who said they would?
No, I'm just. Well, that's what the call I was suggesting.
Why
not trade?
No one in the NFL
a team
is
like the Vikings is desperate.
Brandon Lloyd.
I if I'm the Vikings, I'll go out and I'll sign. I mean, I think they have Greg Jennings in today.
Right.
That's what I'm doing. If I'm desperate, I'm going to give a proven commodity.
You can eliminate the Vikings. No one in the NFL will trade for Brandon Lloyd. I would sort of bet my life on that. Unless Josh McDaniels gets a job as a head coach between now and the day you consummate the trade.
All right, let's go
We probably have dropped the ball. We need to find some more guys that are absolutely useless that Josh McDaniels coached at some point in Denver or St. Louis and get them here, too.
So much for those friendly chats we had with Josh McDaniels.
Now Amendola is useless. Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
I don't know. He finished eight games in 2 years.
How you doing,
That's
Eddie?
That's borderline useless.
Sure,
Razai Dowling.
I'll start off with saying this, that I'm kind of sad for West, but I think they had to do that. You know, we need a change. But do you think that at the end of the day, this is going to be something kind of, you know, a little different than everybody's saying, but you think Bill's going to be seen kind of as a fraud at the end of the day with this whole thrift mentality when Tom Brady's not around anymore, winning games for him?
We may never know.
Yeah.
And B, maybe. I mean, if it all falls apart, if he does like the same thing and he pisses people off by letting people go and is cheap.
Well,
and
listen.
This whole theory. I've been of the belief he's not cheap. He's just misguided in his spending.
Yeah,
he likes big, expensive linebackers who don't make plays. He likes guards and nose tackles who don't make plays.
Well,
he hands them about $200 million.
And here's the thing that we'll probably never know either. Would he hold to this same frugal philosophy if he didn't have a Tom Brady to work with?
That's a good point.
He could not do the things he does. I think he would have the same philosophy, but he would have to, like most coaches, care about PR, care about the owner, but because he has Tom Brady and three Super Bowl rings,
because I think this act has been growing old with people for several years, starting with 2007.
What act?
The act of going to the Super Bowl every
couple
years?
Yeah, what are we talking about? Being a perennial contender?
Going to the AFC title game every year?
Losing because they don't have talent.
They have talent.
They're losing?
And B,
yes, they've lost the Super Bowl, Fred, in case you forgot.
Who are they losing compared to who? What team would you rather be?
A team that wins the Super Bowl.
You mean once every 10 years, or what are you talking about?
Fred.
What team is in a better position than the Patriots
year after year?
I want to defend Eric a little bit because this is something that really, really bothers me.
You make it like they're bungling idiots.
No, he's not.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, he's not. This all started, I think, Eric, you brought up the point, like, would he have the same philosophy if Tom Brady were not there? And I think Tom Brady masks a lot of personnel blunders they've made over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Exactly.
Because you just continue to win 12 games and do what you said, Fred.
Because
and
Brady's
I think
on your team.
Because I look at a lot of wasted opportunity over the last few years.
No doubt.
And we brought up, Andy and I brought up the 06 championship game. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they went 12-4.
Yeah,
they went to the AFC championship game. They lost in an epic game. They had enough points to win. All that's true. I think that it was their own doing that they didn't win more games.
If they did everything absolutely right, they would win the Super Bowl.
Don't be absurd.
You were pointing at me. Don't bring me into this.
I did, and I stopped because it wasn't fair. That's what you would have done to me. I stopped. But no one's suggesting that every team does every single thing right. So to say that is unfair to what Eric's point is. But I think that people look at it and they say, well, how bad did the Richard Seymour trade hurt the team? We'll never know. He wasn't here to help your defense. How bad did letting Asante Samuel hurt the team? We'll never know. He wasn't here. Maybe instead of 32nd in pass defense 3 of the last 4 years, maybe they were 22nd and they would have won 2 Super Bowls.
Maybe.
We don't know.
Maybe.
But to just sit there and say, well, those moves didn't hurt them because they continued to win 12 or 13 games and they continued to go to Super Bowls. That's not accurate.
And the fact,
we don't know how much those moves hurt the team.
But they don't know in either direction.
But that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. But you can't just sit there and laugh and say, what? Who else would like to be the Patriots?
No, but the point
is they might not be as good as they could be.
But they could be worse. They could be better. But the point is, what are the results?
Right.
You have a quarterback who masks bad personnel decisions.
Okay, but because of that quarterback, you need to pay that quarterback too.
You do.
Was paying the quarterback preventing you from making these other moves? Because I was just told.
That's right.
I was just told 2 weeks ago that the ultimate team player, who somehow got overpassed by Francis as the next Pope, was the reason why. Was the reason why we're the best. Because we have all this cap space we have God in the body running the show.
And let's see what they do with that space this year.
And, by the way, that same quarterback who has masked all those problems has had his struggles in the playoffs and in Super Bowls when it has counted most. Let's not overlook that either.
Yeah. So what, are you going to get rid of him?
So if you had more talent on your team...
You see the argument that you're set to make? Fred, don't be absurd. Who suggested
that? My point
that?
Is... If he had more talent around him, maybe there wouldn't be so much pressure for him to perform in these big games.
Your words were, I'm getting tired of this act.
No. That's not what my words were. I said people have been getting.
Are you?
I didn't say me.
People.
Are you? Yes, I am.
Okay. So, I didn't say me. Yes, I am.
So speak for yourself.
I read emails just like you do. I get the SPFWs. People are pissed about the way he's been handling.
I just don't like not being as good as I could be. I want to be as good as I could be every year.
But you can't.
Listen.
Why?
Every year at this time, we get emails saying the Patriots are cheap.
Sure.
All the other teams.
Yes, we do. You're right.
So if you go by that, we lose every year. You don't win in March. You know, you win in the season.
Yeah. Cliche time.
But
the point is to win on the last game of the season.
I think if you took the quarterback away, you would lose.
I'm very happy with this act.
I'm not.
This act puts us perennially in contention to win a Super Bowl.
I don't want to perennially lose the Super Bowl and lose. I want to get there and win.
I don't think the act has anything to do with it.
Who does that? Who perennially wins?
I'm not saying that they're trying to do that. Fred.
Pittsburgh.
Green Bay perennially wins the Super Bowl.
Indianapolis.
They perennially win the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
You didn't say that. You said who perennially wins.
Paul's
That's right.
point. Paul's
and
point.
I'm naming you teams that do what the Patriots do.
Okay,
they contend every year.
You didn't hear what I said. Who perennially wins the Super Bowl?
Nobody perennially wins the Super Bowl, Fred.
That's what I meant to say, okay? Well, who perennially wins
nobody
the Super Bowl?
Nobody perennially wins the Super Bowl.
Then nobody. You are correct. Nobody.
Thank you.
No, but Paul's point was the one that I was trying to make earlier. They've had wasted opportunities with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
They've wasted opportunities by going after B and C players and letting the A players walk.
Did the Colts have wasted opportunities?
Yeah. Yep.
Did the Denver Broncos with John Elway have wasted opportunities?
No.
Back in the 80s?
No,
the early 90s?
Were not
he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
The Denver Broncos overachieved like crazy.
Oh, okay. Why? Well, maybe they didn't have enough personnel around John Elway, but I'm
it was also
saying,
a different era, Fred, with free agents. That was also a completely different era.
I'm just saying, you know, yes. You know, when you say wasted opportunities, it's like, you know,
when you let talented players go and refuse to sign talented players who are out there, you're wasting an opportunity.
Look, you know,
because you had early success in the beginning part of the decade, winning Super Bowls with guys who were more talented than people gave them credit for, and you got them on the cheap. And then when you didn't have good luck signing no talent players, you started losing in the big games.
No talent players. I mean, again, you know, these sweeping generalities.
I think you're both using that, though. Yeah. You're both using sweeping generalities.
There's no doubt if the Patriots had done something better last year or the year before, they might have won the Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. But that's the story league-wide with every team. I mean, but...
Well, not every team, not but every it's... Team. Well, I mean, for example, I think if you're a Ravens fan, you could find arguments for a team that's been to, what, three AFC title games?
That's another one.
If they did something differently, maybe they would have won earlier.
Right.
Or maybe they wouldn't have. That's the way I look at this. Again, I get back to my ad nauseum butterfly effect. In 2006, say they signed Deion Branch. They gave him $39 million or whatever it was. Well, then maybe you wouldn't have been good in 07. Maybe you would have had issues with the cap. You wouldn't have gone after Moss and Welker.
You don't know.
Maybe your run, maybe you would have won the Super Bowl in 06 and put a big fat stamp on the end of the run and been in trouble thereafter.
Maybe you would have been better. Maybe Branch was just coming into his
prime.
That's
a possibility.
And if he had never left, he would have
certainly a possibility.
Turned out to be Wes Welker.
Absolutely. I find it hard to believe he would have been Moss and Welker 07. I find that hard to believe. And they got those guys on the cheap. I mean, you spent $39 million on Deion Branch,
but you certainly could have gotten Moss
$24 million on Moss and Welker.
But you could, I mean, if you had signed Branch, you could have signed Moss. Now you wouldn't have gotten both.
So,
because you already had Welker and Branch.
All of these, I think I kind of agree with Fred. The bottom line is, for all the individual pitfalls of what Belichick does that we hate, and all of us have been driven crazy by some of his stuff at various points, even you, Fred.
Sure.
He has annoyed you
for at least 12 hours.
Right, until the radio mics came on.
Once we hit the 24 mark,
but
we're back.
General, with Tom Brady, that is a massive aspect of this. As Buddy Nick said, you get the quarterback and everything else is easy. With Tom Brady, for a decade plus, they've been among the best teams in football annually. They compete for playoff spots. They compete for AFC title games and Super Bowls.
I'm not
so
arguing
this
it.
Whole, I forgot the wording he used,
he's
but
tired
he definitely
of the act.
Yes, what act?
Well, see, my only argument is I don't.
This is
think...
getting back to my whole the great debate. I want this as a fan, as much as it may piss me off individually. Yeah, see, you'd give up the single Super Bowl for the next 6 years of poop bum teams, as Paul calls
well,
it.
Well, I would give up. I'd take the undefeated.
Not just any Super Bowl, the undefeated.
I want every year knowing. You know, when I look at the Vegas odds, I'm in the top four for Super Bowl contenders. When I look, I go, you know what? I'm going to play in January. It's only whether I'm healthy at that time.
So why?
That's
you,
what I want.
But why do you think that is?
Well, I don't want to redo the whole great debate.
We're not talking about the debate.
There are aspects
he just brought that
of
up
it.
As an example.
You know, the Belichick way is, I think he has a little Parcells in him. The no sellout, the, you know, get in the tournament and anything can happen as long as I make sure I'm in the tournament every year. Short and long term stability,
well, that's
all that crap.
See, but the argument that I would make, and listen, I'm not saying I'm right. It's just how I feel. You know, Fred, you used the term that, you know, this act has done pretty well. I personally don't think it has anything to do with the act. I personally think it's Belichick and Brady. And I think, you know, you said the top four in the Super Bowl odds. I don't think they would be top four in the Super Bowl odds if they didn't have Brady.
Well, they wouldn't
every
be.
Year.
But that's obvious.
But everything else they've done would be the same.
Well, I would argue the Packers wouldn't be a consistent team without Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
No.
They have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That's how you win in this league.
But what I'm saying,
I thought we'd all decided a Hall of Fame quarterback is how you win.
Coach and quarterback.
Even beyond that, Hall of Fame, because I don't know if Mike McCarthy is the greatest coach ever. I think if you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, truly elite, not, you know, is Joe Flacco elite, is he not? If you have an elite quarterback, you win in this league.
Okay, so show me the stories or the analysis on NFL Network that says the Green Bay Packers way is the way to do it.
I read things all the time about how they do things.
Or how the Baltimore Ravens way or how the Indianapolis Colts way is the way to do it. No, they look at it and they say, well, they're good teams and they've been consistent.
Yeah,
but for some reason, the Patriots, to use your word, Fred, the act, is given credit for all of this. And I think it's the same thing that Andy just described Green Bay. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But wait a
minute.
That
makes you a contender.
I don't know the Green Bay act. I've read things about the way they do business, but there's certainly a Steelers act. There's certainly a Ravens act. They let their players go and they draft. That's what they believe in. And occasionally they re-sign what they – and they do
it
all the time.
The
one difference is they don't have as many guys on TV. Now you get into the Warren Sapp thing. They're all friends of Bill Belichick on TV. You know, with Warren Sapp, I'm sure you saw that.
I heard that. Yeah.
But, you know, That's the only difference. I think there's a Steelers way. I think there's a Ravens way.
Yeah, I don't just, I and, just don't see.
You know, that they're getting criticized in Baltimore
right
now.
It's not as publicized as the Patriots way.
But you hear about it. Everybody knows about it. And in Baltimore, it's getting criticized right now because they let Anquan Boldin walk. And it looks like Ed Reed is going to walk. And there's a lot of people that believe that they planned this, that they wanted to turn the roster over younger.
Yeah, and they're getting criticized for it.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's the difference. I don't think the Patriots get criticized for it.
They're being criticized right now.
I haven't got to the emails, Paul. Right.
get to where Amendola is better than Welker because he's younger.
Oh, there might be one. There might be one.
Get to those emails.
But aren't there both in every area?
Of course, Paul.
Oh, I don't think people are going to be saying that about Baltimore.
Well, they just won the Super Bowl, so that helps. But, yeah, they are saying that about Baltimore.
They're getting killed. For letting all their guys go. They don't know how to manage the
cap. You're right. And so are the Patriots right now.
Yeah, not as much. And I think it's going to be gone in 24 hours. That'll be gone. Watch.
I don't think so.
Watch. It's going to be gone.
I think the Michael Felgers and the Ron Borgeses of the world.
Michael Felger's going to criticize every day, just because that's what he does.
But those are the critics. Those are the open critics here. Right. And I'm sure in Baltimore there's open.
There's
I don't
Felger
follow Baltimore.
The Ravens.
I just look at it and... you guys don't agree. I don't think the Patriots way has anything to do with their success. That's the only thing I disagree with you about. I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have everything to do with the success.
Well,
I
agree with that.
I think the Ravens won because Joe Flacco took his game to the next level and was lights out in the postseason.
But why were they contenders every year before he did that?
Because of their way of doing business.
Because they have better personnel.
Because Ozzie Newsom.
They have better personnel.
Yeah, defense.
That's why. Spread across.
Wait
better
a minute,
personnel.
Like, I don't get your point.
I think they have better players.
Okay.
They don't just
so
let
you don't
everybody
think the Patriots
walk.
Have good players?
No, I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think the Patriots way is all.
I just can't.
I don't think their personnel is that good. I think they have a great quarterback. That's what I disagree with you guys about.
I started the whole thing by saying the Ravens personnel is that good if the Ravens players are compared to Hernandez and Gronkowski and Will Fork and Mankins.
I think Dennis Pitter is very comparable to Aaron Hernandez.
He's okay. Yeah, he's fine. But
so I don't think this. I don't.
So you just think the Ravens are flat out better? They have far more personnel. That's just better.
I think that you can't. I don't think Flacco's anywhere near as good as Brady. So no, I wouldn't go that far.
But he was in the postseason when he played a stretch of this postseason.
Is that his best?
He was the best quarterback.
If Brady was on that team, I would say they're light years.
They are light years better.
I don't even think there'd be a comparison.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
I don't agree with that. I think both teams have good personnel. I think they have some star players, some okay players, some overrated players.
I started the whole thing by saying you guys don't – the only thing I disagree with you guys. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I thought we had all agreed that a Hall of Fame quarterback was the
I don't think Joe Flacco's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No, but in the postseason
he was. As much as I like him, I don't think he's anywhere near.
In the postseason
he
was.
He plays like one in the postseason.
And that's why instead of going to the divisional round –
he played like crap and they went to the AFC Championship game the year before.
But that's how you get over the hump.
It's not just about being a Hall of Fame quarterback for them.
That's how you get over the hump, the quarterback.
No, I understand that. But what we're saying, the Patriots are competitive every year. Well, Baltimore was competitive every year before this year without the Hall of Fame quarterback.
But he was fine. He wasn't terrible.
No, he really wasn't. He was really, really inconsistent.
He had some bad games just like Brady does, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't put together a full postseason.
Yeah, but he's not like Brady is.
Nobody's saying he is. He's totally different. They,
he was
they
like
couldn't
Brady
be any more different, in my opinion.
In the playoffs this year, he was like Brady.
But
he wasn't anywhere near Brady before the playoffs this year.
Oh, I think
year.
He made some plays and didn't make plays. And I think that's what Brady is when he's at his mediocre that's criticized. Sometimes he's lights out and he makes every throw on a drive and he, you know, Mr. Clutch. But to me, you know, Joe Flacco and Tom Brady on the final drive in Arizona, same guy. Didn't make any plays. You lost.
All right, let's go back to the phone quickly. Let's try to wrap that up. Then we'll take a. What about food?
I've been saying that for about 20 minutes. No one's listening.
Paul's fueled on anger.
Kevin's not even listening to the
it's
show.
Not anger.
So
it's really just like a philosophical disagreement. I don't
think
the Patriots' way has anything to do with their success. I don't.
I think it. Of course, it does. Just like Baltimore's way has.
Right.
You know, everybody's way has.
Just like Kevin Colbert and Ozzie Newsom are regularly patted
on
the back.
But the point is, there isn't just one way. There's different ways.
Oh, I think there's one way. Get a good quarterback.
Well, that helps.
I think that's the way. And I think Buddy Nix put it great in his little deadspin wire-tapping fraud thing.
I've been trying to call you back.
Get a quarterback. Well, yeah, that shows that if you're an idiot, even if you get the quarterback, you'll be fine.
Chester's in Oregon. Hey, Chester, how you doing?
You're an idiot.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm doing all right. This thing, quickly, is just to me, it's bittersweet. The bitter part being Eldridge is called another piece of
again.
Oh,
boy.
Right. And, you know, secondly, more importantly, is that I think we really tipped our cap to Denver here, and we've got a formidable opponent in the playoffs, obviously, but, you know, it creates a major problem for our defense, which, going to the brighter side, to me, says the money's going to the defense here. I mean, that's really where I'm putting my stock going forward with this. But, you know, more importantly, the sweetest thing for me is my Grogan Neckroll accessory is going to go with the Amendola jersey now. Over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. By the way, I've made the decision. We're going to go an hour longer today.
Nice.
We're going to go until 3 o'clock. So
you and Paul can argue more?
If you're waiting anxiously to have your email read, we'll try to get that done. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Bonjour, Olivier.
Well, hey, welcome back, Eric.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm glad you made it back in one piece.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's overrated.
We had someone from the park rangers calling when you were gone.
Yeah, we did.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm calling because I've been trying to, and I'm sure a lot of callers already have called about the Welker situation, but I can't believe that we let him walk for $2 million, and then we're getting, in instead of him, we're getting a guy that has played, what, 16 games in 4 years?
No, more than that.
More than that?
Yeah.
But he's always getting hurt, so I'm thinking,
42, I think.
A, is it a good a good substitution we just made? Or is it just another McDaniels great plan like he did with Brian Lode, where he brings all of his cronies and to create a situation that's not gonna be very good for us going forward offensively? And then the other thing is, what are we doing on the defense side? I mean, Chester was right.
Good question.
If we spend our money to improve our defense, I think that's a great situation. But Ed Reed is going to Texas to interview, not to New England.
Okay. Well, I mean, the league year just opened up, so I'm sure there's going to be moves.
Let's not pretend nothing's happened.
Right.
I mean, defensive players are coming off the board. Now, Aqib Talib, Sean Smith, the cornerbacks are still out there. You could still end up with a top cornerback.
I wonder if they're kind of waiting.
Well, but they're starting to fall.
For the other one to sign?
Yeah.
Oh, those two in particular.
No, the two that you just mentioned.
Okay, yeah.
Specifically.
Because the corners are starting to go a little bit.
Oh, the other thing is, this is...
DRC?
We're way into free agency here. When you're in day three, that's a long way in.
He's going to San Francisco for a visit.
So, the corners are starting to come off, but...
Yeah, Landry has gone to the Colts, I heard.
Yes. Landry, too.
Landry,
yeah, sorry.
Do you root for players or the laundry?
In his case, both. Right?
Right. Yes. No, there's no question. It's between, I guess, the two, Fred. Stuff has started to happen. I mean, the musical chairs, there's a few less chairs than there were a couple days ago because, you know, that's what happens. But the Patriots generally don't. They're looking for the value.
Yeah, they rarely are in.
And I didn't want them to sign Paul Kruger for $40 million.
Oh, God.
Or whatever. But now there's talk of Asamoah getting a one-year deal. I
would take him.
Or
hell
how about
yeah.
this grand idea? Asamoah on a 1 year deal and Talib on a 4 year deal.
Oh, I don't want that.
Two corners.
I'll take Asamoah. I don't want Talib.
Just sitting back and doing
I'll take
nothing.
Talib on a 1 year deal.
Got Michael Holly as my co-host.
Well, I didn't say 1 year like $600,000.
I hear you, Olivier. James in Georgia. Hey, James.
The peach.
What's going on?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've got a question for all you guys, but I'll start with Andy. my question is, you know, everybody's kind of overreacting because Welker left. It is what it is. But the kind of money we threw at this young guy, Amendola, who he's an unproven receiver with injury problems. I mean, $31 million, $10 million guaranteed. Am I the only one that thinks that's a little too much?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the Welker contract with inflation. I mean, I don't think it's $10 million guaranteed. I haven't seen the salaries. I haven't seen the breakdown yet. I don't know if anybody – have you guys read that?
No.
I believe it averages to 6.2 a year.
No, it does, but I need to see the salaries because if he's making $9 million in the final year, that sways the look of the deal. If you just walk away after 2 years and you only paid him $12 million like you were offering Welker or whatever, there's a difference there. But I don't think it's a terrible deal. They went with the younger guy that they think they can get 5 years out of. They are on board with the whole, he's Welker before he got here. You know, we're going to get that out of him. We're going to get 5 years. And in the fourth year, he's going to be underpaid because he's going to have caught 375 balls from Tom Brady.
But the touch base for the past two callers have left off. I mean, we should be spending money on Adrian Wilson, Ed Reed, re-sign Talib or go get a Brent Grimes, Sean Smith. I mean, we need defensive playmakers, not just taking guys in the second round and then them not being on the team in 3 or 4 years.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's just the way I look at it, and that's just
I mean, there's been little on that front. I mean, Desmond Bryant was a defensive player that they were supposedly interested in.
Is that, like, troubling to you? Because it was, it was troubling to me.
I'd like to know the plan on defense. I really would.
But that was the number one guy we had defensively. Was another one of those guys last year?
You know what I think of interior, blah, 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 blah.
Like, that was a little troubling to me.
It's also been dead quiet from what I've heard on some of the other. Like, have you heard Abraham? Have you heard Osu Mignora?
No.
So maybe they're just, you know, beating through the weeds, and one of those guys is going to come out.
But I'm just waiting for the national guys to tell me who we're signing. Like, you know, so I haven't really been.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, people always like to joke, if it's quiet on a guy, that means he's talking to the Patriots and they won't let it out there. Maybe Umanyora is just going to pop up. I like him. Or Abraham. You know, Freeney's been a little bit more because he's been linked to Denver with the whole Doomerville swap.
You know what else I like today? Like, people were talking about, well, the Patriots, you know, the Patriots never get, you know, Dale Arnold. Patriots never get actively involved in free agency right away. Really? They just gave $31 million to a wide receiver the first day. It was, like, within 24 hours. Right. Free agency opening.
And they're active every year, depending on, not necessarily the top guy, but they're active.
But how you could say that today when they just gave a guy $31 million yesterday?
That's why Fred tweeted. And you were, the Patriots are reportedly interested in free agency.
You were saying about the press conference for Welker at 5:30 Eastern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And Comcast Sportsnet will have it, or I'm assuming NFL will.
The NFL Network was just showing clips of Welker, and it was so bizarre to see him. They showed a clip of him in a Chargers jersey.
Running back to kick. Too, right?
Yeah. Because that was his first team he was with. It's just so bizarre. You don't really think of him as being a Charger.
Speaking of that, when you were dabbling with your sources, Fred, is it true they took all the Welker jerseys immediately yesterday afternoon, just ripped them out of the pro shop?
I have no idea.
Because why would you do that?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you want people to come buy them?
I think, yeah.
Wouldn't you want people to unload them? I'd let suckers, if you want to buy 10 apiece, take them. We're trying to get, unless you can get, I guess, Amendola to wear 83 and then screen on a new
name. The sentimental value, I think people would try to scoop those up.
Maybe that's right. Maybe you are planning to have Amendola wear 83 and just take off the
name and rescreen it.
He had like a teens number, right? Wasn't he like 16 or something like that? I'll bet you he'll try.
He's got
to
fight Kamar Aiken.
That would be kind of harsh.
Why?
To have him wear 83.
Wes Welker wore 83. Yeah,
I know, but right away.
Didn't Deion Branch wear 83?
Yeah, but the.
From one Brady Binky to the next?
80. Well, but he left in 80 in 2006.
Yeah, and then 2007.
But at least a whole year had passed.
Yeah, but one break because they didn't give him a binky. Had they gotten Welker in 2006, maybe they would have given him the binky number. No. It's the binky number. Maybe Brady has this thing where he can only see 8-3 and he throws to 8-3 every time.
I just want to recap. As we were walking down here, Andy promised Eric and I that he wouldn't be going on any rants.
I don't feel like I've ranted.
Now he's all up on the number. Well,
somebody told me that they had heard that they ripped all the Welker jerseys out of the pro shop, and that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Because
maybe
I think
someone can confirm that for us.
I think people would buy
Welker
jerseys.
Can we get
Welker
him on the line?
Jerseys.
Hi. You reach Ken Flanagan.
Like, if you're a big Welker fan, and, you know, maybe, like, you wanted to buy one for your kid or something like that, now that he's gone, I think it would be a good time to buy.
Speaking of which, if you're a big Welker fan, and you'd like an autographed Patriots mini helmet, donate to my charitable fund. You can find the information on the Twitter.
Yeah, you got your you got your diagnosis. 2 weeks, right? You'll be back up and running?
Trainer says 2 weeks. Doctor says 3. Marathons in 4.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Wow. Tore it all needed.
I didn't realize it was that close.
If you couldn't run between
now. Well,
it's
4 weeks from Monday.
Between
so
now
and
the marathon. Could you do it?
Now I'm worried. I
Mike
really
Giardi has
this.
The right. Time frame, right? Doesn't he know all the...
Well, he said, I'm closing in on the finish line.
All right, let's take a break.
Closing in on a long-term deal. He didn't get a long-term deal anywhere.
Kevin,
he didn't close in on a long-term deal anywhere, because 2 is not long-term.
Let's take
now I'm ranting!
What are you going to make fun of Mike for?
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back. Tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
That's what everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the way to get us via email. As I mentioned, we're going to go until 3 o'clock today, so an expanded PFW in Progress. We have so many emails, so many people that want to get their say in on this Wes Welker deal. and Danny Amendola coming to the Patriots. So, you know, we need the extra time to get to it. So why don't we get right to it, right?
Okay.
Steve writes in.
An hour 20 in, we're going to read an email.
We took a half dozen phone calls or more.
Just kidding. Don't get sensitive. A lot of pressure on you today. You got to run this ship.
None.
A lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of opinion.
Auckland, New Zealand is where Steve is from. Guys, Auckland. Why do I feel like I've been kicked in the stomach over the Welker deal? Surely $1 million per year was a tiny amount to pay for a guy who had been a major part in this offense for the last 6 years. And for him to end catching passes from Manning, talk about adding insult to injury. $6 million per year, maybe rising to $7 million. I just don't get how they could have let him go for that amount. Please work your magic and tell me it will be okay.
Well, it'll be okay because, you know, Brady's still here.
I agree.
Well, unless Brady's really mad, then it might not be okay because when he sulks,
he'll get over it. Even when he was really mad in 2006, they still went 12-4.
That's true. Even when he was really mad, he turned Rishea Caldwell into a guy that could help
him win. And you have to say, he was really mad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
he spent the whole first half of the year pouting.
And based on Tom Curran's source, who was speaking for himself and not for Tom Brady, he's really mad now, but not. We don't know what Tom Brady was thinking.
Hey, Freddie, you know what?
Not Tom, the source.
Yeah. Not Curran, but Brady, the source.
You're a big tennis guy, Fred. You know Marty Fish?
Sure.
The professional tennis player. Evidently, he's a big Vikings fan. He tweeted out, "At Greg Jennings, free tennis lessons for life if you sign with the Vikings."
Oh, there you go.
Is that a salary cap violation?
Robert writes in. You know what?
Robert writing in? Best behavior, guys.
He says, you know what? Wes Welker will never break our hearts again. Not bad. Guess what? If he had made 674 receptions instead of 672, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
It's going to break your heart when he comes here in the fall.
Or when you go there in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Or both. Or when you go in the winter because he came here in the fall.
Exactly.
He could. I mean, I know a lot of people. I saw a lot of tweets of the, you know, who are we going to laugh at more, Welker when he drops it or Manning with the face and this and that and all that crap yesterday.
Yeah.
I would be scared, very scared, of what they're putting together in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
And that's moronic to say that they lost two Super Bowls because of Wes Welker.
I agree with that. I saw your tweet, and I
agree
with that.
Angry, Eric. I love angry.
I mean,
big fan.
I'm not there. There's no way I'm going to go to that dark place.
Now, if he beats the Patriots and he jumps up and down and celebrates a little bit after,
that will be a dark
place.
You'll
go to that dark place.
Then I will hate him very quickly.
That will be a dark place for Fred. Nothing gets under Fred's skin like actually being happy that you won a game.
Right. I tweeted this. I think he could break the franchise, the NFL record for receptions. With the way Manning is a timing base, who just loves to get rid of it.
Bing, 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 bing.
If they click like Brady and Manning, Welker clicked. And with Thomas, the deep threat. I think that offense is a formidable attack.
How you don't know
that he breaks his ankle
that he's going to get hurt in week three is beyond me.
No, you know what's going to happen? He's going to find out he has that rare disease that Ryan Clark has, and he can't actually play in Denver.
Oh, God.
Because he didn't go to Denver before signing. He didn't even go there. He was in Boston or whatever when he signed, so he didn't even go there to find out.
He's played in Denver before.
Yes. But, you know, it's different where you'd live there, and, you know, it really sets in.
Adam Schefter, real quick. Chiefs are in pursuit of Sean Smith.
What?
Chiefs in pursuit of Sean Smith, according to Adam Schefter.
Oh, yeah, Matt Cassel was released today.
Ed Reed says the conversations with the Texans were great. A lot of mutual interest on the same page, but, you know, didn't say anything about signing.
But that page isn't the contract in which I just signed.
Who tweeted out today, Ryan Mallett in the first for Larry Fitzgerald?
An idiot. Because you get a better chance of just doing the Fitzgerald for the first. The mallet is actually a detriment to that trade. Because the only guys, once again, who are interested, by the way, are FOBs, friends of Bill Belichick. Supposedly it's Greg Schiano's Bucks and Mike Lombardi's Browns that are supposedly interested in Ryan Mallett.
I just don't – I want to bring something up. As long as we sort of transitions, I'm going to check off another guy. So we sort of transition to Mallett just for a second. Did you guys read over the weekend there was a story saying that Mallett's trade value is not high right now because for one of the reasons, other than the fact that he hasn't played it down, is that he is, you know, the new rookie scale, so you can't restructure a contract in the first 2 years. So they won't be able to restructure that contract until next year. He has a 4-year deal as a rookie.
Right.
Now, someone would want to acquire him, would want to be able to extend him so they would be assured of having him more, and that supposedly is lowering his value. Does that make sense to anybody, or am I just missing something? Because to me, if I were interested in Ryan Mallett, I have 2 years at dirt cheap money
right.
as a third round pick to find out if the guy can play. If after year one he's any good,
right.
now I'm right in the driver's seat. Now I'm allowed to extend him. Here you go, Ryan. I'm the one that brought you here. I'm the one that allowed you the opportunity. I want you. I'm allowing you to be a starter. Here's my extension.
In Michael Holly world, you'd want to extend him. You'd want to add 4 years at veteran minimum to the deal. But in the real world, the way it works, why would the player ever sign an extension
okay.
at that point?
Okay, but even then, you have him for 2 years. And then if you can't sign him as a free agent...
No, but what I'm saying is, I don't think there's any chance he would extend now, the player.
No,
like,
but
what's the reason to extend if I'm the player? I haven't played yet, and I'm confident.
Andy,
I think I can
You're making
play.
A mistake here. You're applying logic to the situation.
Okay. Why, who wrote this?
Jeff Howe. Jeff.
your guy.
Yeah.
The guy you recommended for that job.
Yeah. But, I mean, clearly this is what he's being told. He wrote it, you know, as if, you know, this is driving the market down. So.
Yeah, but he was probably told that by Mike Lombardi
but I'm
when
looking
he called
at
him.
It, I'm looking at it from a purely, you know, just a logical perspective. Why would I be
right?
Why wouldn't I want a guy that I have for 2 years at no money to be my starting quarterback? I don't, you know, I'm not going to do that because I can't extend him. That's exactly what you don't want
right.
to do. You don't want to extend him before
you know who
he's
wish they hadn't
himself?
Extended him. The Cardinals with Kevin Cobb and all these teams that make that mistake of writing the $60 million check,
or even the Chiefs with Castle.
Right.
You
at
think
least
the Chiefs
went to a Pro Bowl.
Looking back at it, you think the Chiefs would have rather have had Matt Castle be their starter for 2 years under an affordable contract mm-hmm. before they had to extend him?
And at least Castle,
or do you think
had
they would rather?
At least Castle had meaningful minutes that you could.
No,
judge
but
him
I'm
by.
Just right. saying.
I don't know. Was that right after his Pro Bowl season?
They gave when they extended him. No, they extended him before he played it down.
Using your 2 year scenario, would that been under his Pro Bowl season?
But
then
even
you might
then,
have made a mistake again.
But even then, don't you think that they would have more to go on and it would be
yeah,
a better?
But Pioli still would have made the mistake.
Yeah, well, maybe he would have.
Still
I
be
just,
in the media.
I don't understand how you could possibly say I'm not going to trade for that guy because I can't extend him now. A guy who's never played it down in the league,
right?
Just
and is under
you,
contract for 2 years
I'm
at nothing.
Give you a simple piece of advice: when you read a story that's about Ryan Mallett trades, just don't. Just move on. Flip your little page to your paper and go on to something that has any value at all.
I just thought it was really, really interesting.
The nudie video ads in the Herald, something that has actual value.
Scott in Leeds, England says, long time no speak. I'm not happy with Amendola. He's made of glass. We overpaid. We're stuck for too long with this deal. And I can't help but feel that we took him because Josh knows him. And at a time when West goes for just $6 million a year,
yes.
I was all for letting him go because he wanted too much money. But he didn't. And right now, I hate this deal. Happy to be proven wrong, but come on, talk me down off the ledge. Would you
Sorry.
Not rather have
can't.
Given a first for Victor Cruz, who is younger still and better and has no durability issues, and paid him a decent salary? No
would've
doubt
twice
get
as much.
A lot of these emails, but I wanted to
I
thank you for your
that.
Time
I would have rather had
for
Cruz.
Getting me through all that gash. That is the off-season.
Trash, gash, rubbish.
Rubbish,
trash,
rubbish.
Gash, 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 rubbish.
That's what they say on the Virgin Atlantic as you fly over.
Why'd you go all Irish on us there? Suddenly he ended up in Dublin.
I have a little bit of reason I'd like to be to the table. I was critical of Wes Welker when they traded for him. I thought they overpaid and overtraded. A second-round pick, a seventh-round pick, $18 million. I was very much – part of that doubt was bred of my loyalty to Troy Brown. I thought Troy Brown was a fantastic Patriot. A guy with a lot of talent, a lot of ability, a lot of clutchness, 100 catches, all of that. You know that I believe had he played later in the decade, he would have been Wes Welker with, you know, 500 or 600 catch seasons.
Probably.
And that was part of why I thought it was disrespectful to Troy Brown to just say, well, we're just going to get this Welker guy, this Shamoke. Or Jamoke, or however you say that word, from Miami.
That's a soft J. Y'all like
soft J.
He's just going to slide in here and be Troy Brown or better. I thought that was disrespectful to the legend of Troy Brown. But it worked. It happened. And now I think it's utterly disrespectful to think that Danny Amendola is going to slide right in
right.
for Mr. Durable, Mr. Third Down, Mr. 100 Catches, and be as good or the Patriots offense will be as productive. But it could happen. There is a chance it happens.
Right.
And I doubted it the first time, which making me less likely to doubt it this time. I'm saying, okay, there's a chance. It's the role in the offense. You're going to catch 100 passes if you stay healthy. Just stay healthy and catch the ball. So I do think you can look at it that way and say it's kind of happened before.
Tim in Cobourg, which is near Toronto, he says, I can't believe I'm writing these words, but here I am wondering about Danny Amendola's suitability as a replacement for Wes Welker. Can we expect the same kind of role and roots for him? He looks to be much more speedy and versatile than Welker, but maybe more fragile. Maybe. Knowing this, is
well,
he going
what
was
to... that, Fred?
Well, he is. There's no doubt about it. That's the problem.
Fragile.
That's the problem.
See, to me, it's only part of the problem.
Knowing this, is he going
Paul's
to
Paul's problem is he catches it and only goes 8 yards.
Yes.
Knowing this, is he going to
Actually,
be...
he goes less than 8 yards most of the time because it averages out with the once in a while he goes 25.
Knowing this, is he going to be asked to withstand the underneath roots across the middle? Could we see him returning kicks?
Sure.
He could.
Yep.
Leon Washington and Donald Jones, by the way, reportedly visiting Foxborough today. And Leon Washington could be your kick returner.
And Leon Washington would represent the second guy like that because obviously there was some interest in Josh Cribbs, too.
And along those lines, Kent Summers just tweeted it not
Arizona?
Looking so good in Arizona now and that Cribbs is looking elsewhere.
So maybe he
comes And we
back.
Were supposedly one of the three finalists. Who were they playing?
Two. Cardinals and Patriots were the top two, I think.
I know that the Patriots were one of three favorites.
Oh, three favorites. That was the wording.
Just trying to figure out how that could be. But
Josh writes in, hey, guys, I really hope you can keep us fans on track. What the Pats did was completely stupid. I would understand if we were going to go a different direction, but we just got the same kind of slot wide receiver, but not as good and gets injured a lot. That money we spent per year is exactly the same as what Wes is getting by the Broncos. You're telling me the Patriots couldn't have done the same deal with Wes that the Broncos did? I really hope Danny Amendola can stay healthy and be close to what Welker was. I was thinking maybe we can go to a three tight end, Gronk, Ballard, and Hernandez, and then have Amendola as the wide receiver and then a running back. Maybe that scheme could work if all stay healthy. And I would love to trade Lloyd and get rid of him. We really don't need him. And then maybe we can draft a tall and fast wide receiver. All I know is we better be beefing up the D. They better do something great to get Wes off our minds. I'm still pissed off, though. All right.
Yeah, about that beefing up the D part. They haven't really done anything.
They need to. They're going to need to address that.
We should also, just for purposes of news and information, Donald Thomas signed with the Indianapolis Colts for $14 million over 4 years.
And he was he did okay as a backup there.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Colts thought that because they signed him as a starter.
Oh, yeah, he's a starter. Yeah. He got starting money. And Patrick Chung went to the Eagles for 3 years and $10 million with a couple million guaranteed.
Yeah, didn't exactly get the Michael Griffin contract.
He didn't even get the Wes Welker contract, and that's about as low as you can go.
He got nothing.
Let's go to the phones. Paul in Bakersfield. Hey, Paul.
Hey. I was wondering, you guys were having a conversation about Danny Amendola about a few weeks ago, and you guys are saying that he's less explosive than Wes Welker. I was looking at some of like the highlights on NFL Network. It wasn't anything special, but he looks like he's faster than Wes Welker. He looks like, I don't know about his hands, but he looks like he's faster than him.
He is faster.
I think he's faster, but it's never led to much production.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just judging, I had said earlier, Paul, that I haven't seen all of the Rams games. I have seen him catch some deep passes where he just it's not like you're tricking the defense. He's run by guys that were covering him.
Yeah.
So I do think that he has some speed, but I'm just going off his production. When he catches the ball, he doesn't get very many yards on most of them. He averaged he never averaged more than 10 yards a catch until this year, and that was in a shortened. Whoa, are you at an airport right now?
Thanks for the call.
I mean, he averaged more than 10 yards a catch once this past season, and he did that in what, how many games?
11 10? 10.
McKenzie's a Bills fan. He says, Welker.
I'm sorry, did you hear the Buddy Nix thing? You're in trouble.
He says, Welker would destroy us in the past. To think Amendola will replace Wes is optimistic. Amendola is a great receiver, but always is hurt. Along the season, how many times can a quarterback check down to the tight end? Also, Nick spoke the truth. Fitz is a backup, no surprise. Brady will turn 40. The end is near.
Question, though, along those lines, would you take Ryan Fitzpatrick as the backup quarterback here?
Yes.
No.
I would.
I think I would, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I think he's better than Mallett, so I guess.
He's definitely better than Mallett.
I look at him as an Andy Garcia type that, you know.
Andy Garcia. Actor.
Yeah, you can throw him in there.
He's a good actor.
He can win
good
you
chops.
A game or two.
Smells like a rat.
That's what I'm looking for my backup.
He has starting chops. Yeah,
win me a game or two.
I have more faith in him than
he's
Ryan
familiar
Mallett.
Familiar with the area, with Harvard.
I lost my voice yelling at Fred.
Good.
So I would take him, is the answer.
Yeah.
Paul wouldn't. No.
Paul thinks everybody.
He just doesn't like anybody.
I don't want. I mean, the guy. But you make it sound like that. I don't like anybody for no reason. Like, he led the league in interceptions 3 years in a row. I mean, what's he going to give you off the bench? Wait a minute.
You don't think Ryan Mallett could lead the league in interceptions?
I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not necessarily saying I want Ryan Mallett to stay, but I've never seen him play. I have seen Fitzpatrick play, and I don't think he can. Why do I want him as a backup?
Because that's what a backup is. You can't get a backup who should be a starter.
No, but I can get a young guy who I don't know what he is yet. That's what
you have him.
Right. So what's,
but he stinks.
I don't know that.
Yeah. I'm going down the road if he stinks.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Some other team can have
him. I thought the Patriot way was the right way.
Cut ties. Cut ties. Well, the roster was stacked when you had Edel. I mean, Welker at the bottom of the roster.
Disgruntled fan writes in. He says, welcome to the Broncos for some loose change. That's it. I'm handing in my imaginary season tickets.
Paul's loose change thing was right, though, all along.
True.
That's what the Broncos got him for.
I got to be honest with you. Even I thought more of him than he got. Welker.
Oh, that's why I don't think.
I can't sit here and say, see, I was right. Even I thought
you
more
didn't lose
of him than
it.
That.
Somebody just said, holy crap, what a bargain. I'm taking him. Right? I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
This was like, you know, you had cash in your pocket. You were driving down the road and there was something for sale that was really nice in front of a house. You didn't intend to buy it, but you were like, they want $100 for that, you know, 55-inch plasma that's still in the box. I'll take it.
Tony, like, even if it doesn't work,
right?
It's worth that.
I got a big box the kids can play in.
Tony writes in, I can't believe that the Pats didn't sign Welker. They didn't even offer him a deal until after the Broncos. That's not true. I have such disdain for the Patriots, Robbie Kraft and Bill right now.
Robbie?
I'm almost ready to cry.
That's pretty disrespectful right
now. He's almost ready to cry. Why do we always have to get rid of our best players? Randy Moss, Asante Samuel, Richard Seymour, and now Wes.
Because you go to the AFC Championship game every year. It doesn't matter.
I heard the deal was two for 12.
You go to those because you actually keep your best player.
How couldn't we match that? Honestly, I can't believe it. I'm really questioning the character of my team right now. From Spygate to the money problems of Vince and Logan Mankins, I'm starting to think that this organization is a little bit shady. I will never stop being a fan, but I am seriously hurt right now. Welker was the last straw. Gonna miss 83. Catching the balls up the PS. Oh, PS. How long will Wes Welker jerseys be on sale at the pro shop? I have it in white, but it's dirty. Well, go get yourself a blue one.
I think you can get a deal on it.
Let's see. Cormac writes in, and Bill, we trust, right? That's the first question, isn't it? Firstly, I guess Paul is probably happy now that we've removed a player of lesser skills from the roster. Okay, to be honest, guys, I don't mind us losing Welker. However, a few things great on this. Firstly, Mr. Kraft's statement on Monday that he wanted Welker to be a Patriot for life. You don't make this statement purely out of it being a nice idea, but you say it knowing you'll need to bring the finances to the table to guarantee he will be. So when the terms come out, 2 years, $12 million, it seems we could have got this done easily. So do we take it that there was a dissent in the Patriots camp? Or is it that Mr. Kraft was not altogether honest with his statement? The problem is, if he ever says something like that again, it won't be believed. So I contend he wanted him to be a Patriot, you know, but
that's not
at the price.
Yeah, I mean, I think he said that he will be, right?
Secondly, Brady, if reports are true, and I think we should presume that there's smoke, when there's smoke, there's fire, it does make sense. Brady is really pissed.
Well, no. There's been no report that Brady is pissed. There's been reports that people close to Brady are pissed. Right. That has been the reports from Tom Curran and Michael Silver.
Right, so we'll skip over that. And so now we've got Amendola. I suppose we can, if we can time his injuries so they don't clash with Gronk and Hernandez's, we'll be okay, right? On a final point, who do you think we'll aim at next? We are, again, slow off the blocks in signings, and some good talent is going to other teams. I'm really not sure who is out there who we can aim to upgrade our receiving core.
A veteran pass rusher, I believe. I believe they are in. They got to be doing something.
I hope so.
There's got to be something, and the lack of smoke means there's a big fire.
Let's see.
This is like the conclave. There's a lack of smoke.
Yes.
Let's see. Colin writes in.
Not a lot on the receiver market, by the way. You know, Jennings. Edelman is still out there. I don't know if you sign Washington and And Amendola, does that close the door on on Edelman?
I mean, unless there's some guy that they really want to target in the first round that they think that they can get with their pick. And
no, but I'm not even talking about that, because whether you take a receiver in the first round or the third round, he's a crapshoot. Here, almost anywhere, he's a crapshoot. You're not getting A.J. Green. A.J. Green, yes. Calvin Johnson, yes. You said they're going to come in and they're going to be productive. They are perfect. They are NFL-caliber receivers who just happen to be playing in college. No one else is like that. No one in this draft is like that. So that's a crapshoot. So you still, if Lloyd is gone, they need to sign a veteran receiver, whether it's Donald Jones, who's here today, whether it's David Nelson, who has been rumored as a potential target, or, you know, there could always be a trade. I know fans are trying to talk themselves into Larry Fitzgerald, that somehow we're going to trade for Larry Fitzgerald.
For first and Ryan Mallett. Colin in Connecticut, just a quick thought for Fred and the gang. While I think that this was the right move to make with Welker leaving, I wanted to point out one thing. This was a McDaniel signing. There were two other McDaniel signings that I can remember. Lawrence Maroney, who was brought due to Josh's brother, a coach at his college, and Brandon Lloyd. How did they work out? Let's pull all the stops out for Nelson, Tlaib, Houston, and OC. Okay.
Houston?
Didn't he sign?
Yeah. Chris Houston?
Yeah.
Signed a 5-year deal, I think, yesterday.
For good money.
So yeah. He's done.
Yeah, that's been the strange thing. Andy and I were talking about this upstairs. You know, a lot of talk about the market, and the Welker thing would certainly look to all those people that said the numbers were way down, and Andy brought up Rashard Mendenhall, but I think that was just Binkyism. You know,
I mean,
a guy coming off a torn ACL and Achilles tendon problem.
I'm down.
Only
him.
Got a 1-year deal.
He turned down Denver. Stupid move.
Go
to Denver on
a
1-year
deal.
But
there's been a lot of big money long term contracts for a market. I think that, and that was one of them that sort of surprised me. Chris Houston to me is sort of, you know, Mets in terms of being a cornerback. You know, Percy Harvin, you know, blew it out of the water. I mean, I don't know how much the guarantee was there, but I imagine, using the Andy Hart, Paul Perillo 50% rule, it's probably pretty good. I think it was 6-67 for Percy Harvin.
Yeah, he got $27 million, I think, or up there.
Yeah, so that's a good – I mean, there was some big money deals that I was a little bit surprised about.
Yeah,
I mean,
they'll regret
Reggie
those.
Bush got a decent contract from Detroit.
Yeah, like $5 million a
year. Yeah. You know, and he's a little older for that. Tom Curran just tweeted something.
he's got another source who knows nothing about Brady but just wanted to say he had lunch.
He writes, interesting news. Amendola signed with the Patriots on Tuesday. New England did not react to Denver. They made choice when Welker went to market.
Right.
Right.
So.
That's what Fred was saying.
Yeah.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
Not Wednesday?
No, Welker's camp didn't get back to the Patriots till yesterday.
But that's when he got the offer from Denver.
Right.
Right.
And so, then after they got the offer, they went back to the Patriots.
Right.
But by that time, they had already committed to Amendola.
Okay, well, I'm very confused. I need to read some of these stories because I don't really understand.
No, that's exactly what happened.
You don't need a story. You got a story right in front of you. Fred Kirsch has
that's exactly what happened.
So they didn't want him.
They wanted him, but
they
didn't think they were going to get him for that price.
He said, that's too low, and they said, okay. He said, I'm storming out, and they said, okay, we're calling Amendola.
He said, I'm storming out?
Well,
it was pretty much clear that, you know.
Like, when did they make him an offer? If they made the other guy an offer on Tuesday?
Yeah,
it was
you know, like a week ago.
The story that Fred is spewing, and I believe, is they gave him a final offer of 2 years, $10 million, whatever it was.
With incentives.
With incentives to get to $8 million.
So that was
per
it.
Year.
They weren't going to negotiate. Clearly, they didn't have any intentions of
negotiating.
Why do
you say that?
That's my
because
point.
They
because just
they
moved
gave
on.
Up. They moved on.
No.
Well, after he stormed out and said, screw it.
Right. So they had no intention
to
negotiate.
Out
and they didn't, like, the next. They didn't do Amendola until Tuesday.
Yeah, the first time that they actually could.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had already believed that Welker was moving on. That he
yeah,
that he was
that's
being
that's what I think. I think that they right. didn't have any intentions.
No. Welker told them he wasn't going to accept that offer. I'm moving on. I'm going to market.
I don't really get it.
If you really want a guy and he storms off and says, "Oh, I'm
you don't
not
even wait
take
for
that,
him to come back."
You don't say, "All right, wait a minute, let's talk. Wait, come back for a second." You just say, "Okay, yeah, fine."
Well, you've been playing this game for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a new thing. You've been playing this game for 2 years.
Well, that's the other thing. I think there's some bad blood there with this agent.
I mean, hasn't he done enough?
This is where I cut ties with you. You can't just say there's bad blood with the agent. The blood might be bad both ways. The agent think there's bad blood with
but,
the team.
You know, I'm sure the Patriots feel that this should have been done a long time ago in terms of a long-term deal.
And so does the agent.
Yeah.
But both sides probably believe that.
Whatever. I'm just saying. You know, so this was kind of the last, all
right,
it's over. It's done. We're going to sign Amendola.
Right. We're moving on.
Right.
Yeah, I believe you on that. I just, the little part where you said, there's bad, the agent. Well, yeah. The agent probably
but
is telling
I'm just
people
saying,
exact
like,
opposite.
Like what Eric says, you know, if you felt like this guy was reasonable, you would do that. You would say, whoa, you know, let's continue to talk. Okay. But at this point, I think it was like, all right, that's it. It's over.
Right. Was there anything stopping them from going directly to Welker? To say, you know, look, your agent's getting in the way. Can we do something here?
I'm not sure about the protocol. I'm not sure you're supposed to do that.
You have to go through the agent?
I think you can.
That's different.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're really supposed to do that. You can get in trouble for that.
I know during the tampering period, the legal tampering, you couldn't call players who didn't have agents. Like Ed Reed could not take phone calls because he doesn't have an agent, which I find utterly.
What if he's representing himself?
I think because it was worded. Teams can contact certified
player
agents. Whatever. So he is. Yeah. He can say I'm representing myself, but he's not a certified agent.
That's why they worded it.
Yeah, I don't get it. You can't talk to the guy who's thinking for himself. That seems to make no sense.
Yeah.
But so there are definitely rules in that way. I don't know how they work.
But I also think beyond NFL rules, I think there's some ethical thing that. When a guy's being represented, you don't go around that representation.
Plus, if I'm the guy.
If you want to blow up a deal, you do that.
I'm the guy, I'd say, no, I hired him to represent me. I trust. You have to have trust in your agent.
What I have heard done is minions. Like, you know, Tom, can you talk to him? You know, that type of thing, if you have a willing party to do that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But get to the player somehow.
Somehow. But the negotiating party shouldn't go around.
But somebody's got to be able to
be an intermediary. But I'm not blaming this on David Dunn. I wouldn't want $2 years and $10 million if I'm Wes Welker either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame it on David Dunn. That's disrespectful. I'm the best receiver you've had in decades. Sign me. Show me money.
Like, no, but I'm just saying.
I agree with you. I don't blame it on anybody. I can certainly see them walking away from that offer. And the Patriots weren't that far away from what he actually got, so it wasn't an insulting offer.
Right.
I'm just saying.
What was the words on both Breer and Borges termed it, the offer, like, was it laughably or
lowball?
Forgot they were, and it wasn't. I mean, it. I would have thought it was too at the time, but
it turned out not to be.
The guy signs for similar. It's not really. It wasn't.
I just don't know how much, and I'm not blaming this on one side or the other. Mutually, I don't know how much either one of them wanted to continue.
Yeah.
Well, it was. I think that's because it was ugly for so long. That's where I get the bad blood thing.
Right.
They've dealt with this for going on 2 years, where they've negotiated. He says something. They say something. He does something. They do something. Yeah. At some point, it's just, okay.
It must have got nasty behind the scenes because certainly in public, it wasn't nearly as nasty as the Mankins negotiations.
Yeah. Oh, no, but that's because they didn't have somebody like Mankins.
And you know what?
Or his agent,
a powder keg ready to try.
West just didn't have it in him to do that.
Because he tried a couple times.
I think he was every bit as disgruntled as Mankins
was. He dipped his toe in
the
water a couple times.
But you could tell when we talked to him.
He just couldn't put his best foot forward.
You could tell, yeah. You could tell he was frustrated throughout the season.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever that subject came up.
Because his lottery was like petering away before his eyes.
Yeah, if you have any doubts that he was frustrated and teetering, that comment, it's nice to stick it in Bill's face every once in a while. That I know that when those things happen and we talk about them on the show, we get sort of criticized for making too much out of it. But that was I thought that comment was very telling. I thought so at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think so.
More so now.
More so now. I just don't know how much there was a mutual. And I'm not blaming the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots were hell-bent on having returned. And I don't think Wes Welker, and I know everybody's reporting, Wes definitively wanted to be back. I think if he definitively wanted to be back, he'd have taken 2-10. If he just wanted to be back, Teddy Bruschi just wanted to be back no matter what, he'd have taken it. Because look what he signed for. So it wasn't that much different.
Was the 2-10 fully guaranteed?
I don't know.
The we talked about Sean Smith earlier. Did we say he visited the Chiefs?
Supposedly Kansas City was.
He has now signed 3-year deal.
Okay.
With the Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Andy Reid building his dream team putt. Dude.
By the way, getting back to that, Sean Smith, that was the whole Vontae Davis says, my boy Sean Smith is talking to Kansas City, you know, way back. And then it was like, were they tampering? And then he came back with a tweet saying, no, it was just, you know, and one side, like, disputed it. The other guy fessed up and said it.
Right.
And it caused a whole poop storm.
But it's also the corner market starting to peter out. If you're not going to get Tlaib, options are coming off the board.
Well, Kansas City had talked to, I mean, obviously they looked at with Denver, you know, getting Welker, and they got now Robinson and Smith to go with Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Dan the Byman.
I still have Alex Smith as your quarterback.
Dan says, I'm downright pissed. True. It's not because they let Wes go, but because they let Wes go over $2 million. You have paid him $9 million last year, and he was still the most productive receiver on the field. Does your most productive player, is he not worth $6 million a year? You paid $6 million to Ocho, who didn't do you know what. I have no idea what the Patriots are thinking. It's not like the Broncos offered Wes a five-year contract that you don't want to match. It's 2 years, same as your offer. I remember Andy mentioned that being able to pick up the Patriots offense has a value. Who is to say Amendola is guaranteed to pick it up? Look how Loy turned out, just a so-so receiver. Now we're going to have a highly overpaid but unproductive wide receiver group in 2013. I hope we can go hard after Greg Jennings and draft a true deep threat like Justin Hunter.
Well, I don't think Lloyd's problems were picking up the offense. That's one thing where I think, no. You know, Josh was right. He was fine for the offense in terms of terminology and all that. He just KP.
Dean Main says, why do the Patriots do this to the fans and the team? Why trade a known commodity for an unknown, unproven commodity? Maybe they do have a way for Brady to throw and catch the ball, as Giselle suggested. Because December, January, when Gronk is injured, Hernandez is injured, Amendola is injured, and Lloyd drops everything thrown his way, Brady will have no choice but to throw and catch everything. And to hear that Denver only gave Welker $12 million for 2 years? Seriously, Patriots couldn't match that? No, they would rather have some guy who played 12 games in the last 32. My rant is over. I have a question about the salary
cap.
Finished
8 of those.
The $31 million we gave Amendola, does $6.2 million go to this year's cap? And how does the $10 million guarantee affect the cap?
Well, the $10 million is divvied over the 5 years. So, but again, that's what I said. I don't know the salaries. I haven't seen the salaries yet broken down.
Yeah.
So $21 million is sort of unaccounted for, divvied up over 5 years. Yeah. It could be very low the first year and build. It could be high. You know, there could be roster bonuses in there along the way. I don't know. But the $10 million, if indeed a signing bonus, we've only seen $10 million guaranteed. I don't even know that the $10 million is a signing bonus.
Yeah, it could be the salary, the first year salary.
It could be a
knows,
salary. It could part be a of roster bonus. Yeah. It could be three to, you know, only signing bonus is immediately divvied up over the life of the deal. And as I said, we don't even know that the $10 million guaranteed is truly that.
Let's see. Phil in Nova Scotia, the Patriots did wrong by Welker. If they did not want him, they should have released him. Instead, they offered him a go-away contract. They insulted him and insulted their fan base. Not about Welker not being on the team. It's the way they got rid of him. I don't want to hear about the Patriots way or about how classy the Patriots organization is. I'm upset. So for now, everyone in the Patriots organization from top to bottom is poop. Especially that slimy turd, Josh McDaniels.
Whoa. I thought for sure that was going
to
be me.
Amendola sure has a lot of work cut out for him to win over the fans. It's Phil, Nova Scotia.
So basically, this boils down to, do people believe you and Mike Reese and the report that it was a timing thing? Because people
sound
are really
like
fixating on the $2 million and you didn't, you know.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought of. Oh, that's it? We couldn't do that? That's the first thing I thought.
So if you believe the timing is an issue, then you feel one way, like you do, Fred. And I
feel
think
sad
I
he's gone. I wish he was here, but
if happened. You don't believe it, then you feel like Paul does, and you know you don't buy that it was a timing thing. That there's some other.
Yeah, but for Paul, this is the best of both worlds. He gets rid of a guy with no talent, and he gets to criticize the Patriots. So this is good.
And he gets to criticize a new guy with no talent.
With less talent.
Oh, less talent.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take
I don't really have any, and I stated this at the top, and I agree with it now. I don't find.
You
haven't changed opinion since the top?
You agree with yourself?
I don't have anybody to take rocket shots here. I think the Patriots have taken too much criticism for this move. I do.
Yeah, but that's 32, you hate Welker.
He's a 32-year-old slot receiver, and I think
who has
no
skill catching passes.
I would have brought him back. I said that. I would have brought him back, but I have no problem with deciding to go in another direction. I don't like the Amendola signing. I wanted to go in another direction.
Not to the guy who replaced him at Texas Tech.
Correct.
All right, let's take a break. Food's here. Remember, we're going to go to 3 o'clock, so this isn't the end of it. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way.
In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriot scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk. Just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available. See why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up tonight.
Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we are doing an extended PFW in Progress, just like Tom Brady's contract. We're going to be going until 3 o'clock today because we have so much to talk about regarding this Wes Welker, Danny Amendola deal. And your emails and calls, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Let's go to Scott in Raleigh, North Carolina, who's been holding on. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is Scott in Raleigh. I think you confused me last time with Scott in North Carolina, not the same person.
Okay, but you're both in North Carolina.
Yeah, I call you guys a couple of years. I used to call you all the time way back with Craig from South Carolina. But anyway, this is a good deal. Patriots fans, there's just too much drama here. It is a good deal. I think they parted ways. They did not want Wes Welker. And whatever you think about that, whatever. If they wanted him, he would be here, you know.
That's what Eric feels. You agree with Eric.
Yeah. I think the reason is, you got Gronkowski, Hernandez, all these guys. It's time for them to take that step to become leaders. As long as Welker's here, I think the Patriots thought that, you know, they would still be like backup to him. If something needs to happen, you go to Wes Welker. You know, Brady always rely on him. And it was time to move on. And so I think when you move on, you don't just say that, you know, we're going to get rid of Wes Welker or whatever. You offer him a contract that you know he's not going to sign, and then he doesn't sign it, and then he's out the door. And like you guys were just saying a while ago, they were already dealing with Amendola before he even came back, you know. Wes Welker did, so it was a done deal. I don't think it's because they don't like him or anything like that. They just made a decision, a football decision. It's time to move on. It's time for those other guys to step up, and I don't think that was ever going to happen until Wes Welker was gone. No more security blanket, you know. It's time for big boy stuff, time to move on.
Okay.
All right.
That's the long
Wait,
and short of
before
it.
Before you let him go, Scott, just out of curiosity.
Clear your throat, Paul.
Why Amendola?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I don't know why they chose him. I guess.
No, but I mean, if you decided to move on, why wouldn't you just move? I sort of agree with your overall premise. You know, they wanted to go to the tight ends and do some different things, but why give $31 million to a very similar kind of player as Welker?
Because he's younger, and I think they could.
But I thought we wanted to move on. I thought we wanted to do something different than have Welker there catching passes.
They are going to. Amendola is not Wes Welker, and he's not going to be.
But why do we pay him so much money then?
Well, they've got the value in a younger player that's going to be there longer.
A value in a younger player who's not as good? If he doesn't catch Welker-like passes, he's not a value at $31
million. I don't agree with that necessarily. I think they just need production out of him. They don't have to have Wes Welker production.
Well, why didn't they give Wes Welker the money and get the production? Right, I thought we moved on. I'm with Scott here, you know, 100%. I'm all for moving on, and I really think that that was something that needed to happen. We talked about it 2 weeks ago when you guys yelled at me. I like moving on. I just feel like this is too much of the same kind of guy. I don't think we just traded one of the guys for someone else. And even if he turns out to be as good as Welker, I think that we have the same problems.
Well, but
I don't want to talk down Welker, but let me just throw this at you. I can remember one time where Wes Welker caught a ball and took it to the house, per se. Like a long run. That was that game in Miami where Brady was standing in the end zone and threw it to Welker, and he kind of caught it over his shoulder.
You're right. And you know how many touchdowns? You know how many touchdown passes he caught that year?
I don't know. He caught touchdowns, but usually in the red zone.
That was 2011. Do you know how many touchdowns he caught that year?
How many?
9. Do you know how many Danny Amendola has in his career?
I don't know.
Seven. So you didn't see Danny Amendola taking any to the house
too often. I agree. Both of those guys are not necessarily big touchdown producers. Neither one of those guys. But they did trade Welker for Amendola for an increase in touchdowns. Because, obviously that's not going to happen.
Well, you're going to see that production from somewhere else. I think it's valuable to have your other players step up as leaders. That is crucial. And that is what you're going to see happen.
And you think
that as far as the $6 million goes, I don't think that's too much for a slot receiver. That's just kind of the going rate. So,
but you think Welker was preventing guys from being leaders?
Well, in their minds, that's what happens when you're on a team and you have a mainstay guy there. As long as he's there, nobody's going to say, this has to be me. We have to have a play right now. I want the ball. I'm going to be the guy. As long as Welker was there, it was always going to be him.
What about Gronkowski?
They don't have anybody else to go
Whoa. What about Gronkowski? No one can cover him.
One of the options. But the other guys need that, too. I mean, he's the same age as Hernandez and a few of the other guys. So, I mean, Gronkowski has just shown his value that he was able to step up even before moving on from Wes Welker. But I'm telling you, on teams, that is exactly what happened. Guys do that. As long as that veteran guy is there that usually makes the play, they're not going to, there's no need for them to step up and take that role, and they won't until you get rid of that guy.
Okay.
You're going to see that happen, I really do believe.
All right. I get what Scott's saying. I just don't think Welker was limiting other people from stepping up.
Hell no.
So,
as to Paul's point, if you're going to move on, you don't sign a guy who plays the same position and does
things. I really do
not as well.
A lot of what Scott said, I really agree with, and I'm
except
excited about. The only thing is, I don't necessarily look at Welker as a detriment or a deterrent.
No.
Probably a better word to the other guys sort of stepping up. I think it's all on Brady, what he's going to do, and I think if Brady falls in love with Amendola's ability to catch passes in the slot, you're going to have the same problem.
Louis from Montreal writes in, for the past 6 years, we've seen Wes Welker's record-setting seasons with Brady. We've seen him take huge hits, get right back up. We've seen him put in 110% during contract negotiations and never missed any practices. From a fan's perspective, that little dude worked his ass off and he produced. What more can you ask of a player? What message does that send to the team? Maybe I've seen too many episodes of Friday Night Lights, and I'm an over-emotional, crazy fan. No comment from you, Paul. But losing Welker in this way doesn't make me proud of the Patriots' way.
Clear eyes.
I understand it's a business, and I do want to win, but at what cost? P.S. I'm pissed. So,
I get
good.
It.
What is that? That's
Andy's coffee over there.
It's my girly girl French vanilla coffee with a little extra sweetness.
I agree with the premise of some of these things, and I do wonder, if not him. And another thing that's sort of been distasteful to me, the references to the concussions. Welker concussions. Correct me if I'm wrong. Has he missed a game due to a concussion in his career? Or with the Patriots anyway?
I don't think with the Patriots.
What are the references to concussions?
There's been more than a few. That Welker is injury risk, even though he hasn't missed a lot of games, with all the hits he's taken and concussions and that he's suffered. And I have no doubt that he's suffered a concussion.
Wait, so
with the Patriots,
the job we're going to ask Amendola to do, he's not going to be asked to be in position to take hits?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the logic.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going.
And who's saying writing this, Paul? Yeah.
I don't remember.
I need
exactly
to know what.
You mean like reporters or just stupid fans?
No, reporters have written lines about concussion problems, concussion
really?
History.
I need to know who that is.
Yeah,
that
I don't know.
That is distasteful. I agree. That is not right.
Josh writes
in from somewhere.
Still trying to figure this Welker Amendola deal out. Do you think that Lloyd's production or lack of it in cap number $4.5 million played into Welker's choice? If I was him, I'd be pretty offended to be considered worth a similar amount to Lloyd. Also, what percentage chance do you think that Amendola turns out to be better than Welker? He's bigger, faster, at least has good hands, and didn't have Brady throwing to him the ball in the past. If he remains healthy, I think he could be better, but that's a big if. And finally, what three free agents would you be hoping to sign in the next few days?
Pass rusher.
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Nnamdi Asamoah on a pass rusher would make me feel a little good.
I'd like some secondary help. Absolutely.
I'd like some primary help.
In the secondary.
See what you did there.
Andrew, in the Ukraine, usually I count on Paul to be the more analytical member of PFW, but I simply...
Proving you're an idiot.
Andrew's mad at me.
But I simply don't understand him on the Welker Amendola situation. For full disclosure, I wanted Welker, not Amendola, but Paul's apparent outrage makes little sense.
Oh, I'm not outraged. I don't think he's outraged. I'm not outraged at all, Andrew. You've mischaracterized me. I don't want either one of them.
You mean about this specific topic.
Right.
Because you seem to have a lot of rage that you spew out.
Consider the following statements, tweets from Paul. These are statements and tweets from Paul. One, Welker is loose change. Two, anyone that can make receptions that Welker makes, it requires little or no athleticism. Three, which is a tweet, why replace Welker with a more expensive version? And four, I'm actually fine letting Welker go, but only if the Patriots were changing direction on offense.
Yes, that's all accurate. I can't argue with any of that. I feel that's exactly how I feel.
The first two items speak for themselves. Consider the last two statements. Last year, Welker made $9 million. Amendola will average $6.2 million, which is less than $9 million. Even if we compare to Welker's contract.
Can we just stop?
Yes.
That was what he made last year, not what he's making this year.
Even if
we're not comparing what he made last year to what this guy's making this year.
Even if we compare Welker's contract, current contract, it's $6 million a year to $6.2 million a year. Not exactly a ridiculous difference. Comparing total contract
dollars.
But there
is a ridiculous difference to the production.
Comparing total contract dollars is apples to bicycles. One is a five-year contract for a 27-year-old. The other is a fully guaranteed two-year contract for a 32-year-old.
You know what's apples and bicycles? What Paul just said, the production.
Right.
And how does Paul know that signing Amendola means that the offense will be structured the same?
I don't know exactly what the offense is going to do. I didn't want another slot receiver to average 8 yards a catch. I didn't want that.
Phil,
I have no problem. I'll state it again. He got a call.
What happened to him?
Andrew, I have no problems whatsoever with the Patriots' decision to move on from Wes Welker. I just don't think that Amendola is as good as you do. That's all.
Phil in Trumbull, Connecticut. I know a lot of fans are upset about losing Welker. I'm being optimistic about this situation. I think Amendola can fill the role of Welker. Can Amendola stay healthy? We shall see. By letting go of Welker, Brady won't favor one player. He will have to spread the ball around more and will keep the defenses guessing. I think we should use the money we didn't use on Welker to fix our defense.
So, again, it's a Brady problem, not a Welker problem. Well, how would you feel, Paul, if they signed an outside version of Danny Amendola? And what I mean by that is a guy like him who's had injury problems, has never been overly productive, you know, I guess, you know, Jones, I guess, Donald Jones type, they signed him to a five-year, $30 million deal with this feel that...
No, I wouldn't be happy about that.
Okay. So you want a good person.
If they signed Donald Jones to a five-year, $30 million contract, I would not be happy with that. But a guy who didn't even garner a restricted free agent offer from his team.
Yeah, you're missing my point. My point is, a guy like Amendola, similar value, but different position.
No,
of an outside receiver, more of a deep threat.
Yeah, I would feel better about it because, to me, the upside would be that he could impact the offense for the better. He could do things that you don't have. To me, the upside of Amendola is Welker, and my offense is exactly the same. That's why I don't like it. Now, you couple in all the stuff that you're talking about, sort of the lack of reliability in Amendola, then I really don't like it because you already had a guy that you knew was going to do something.
The problem I have with it is long-term, I think it could be a great move. If you get Welker, because I agree with you, the upside of Amendola is Welker. So if long-term, if you get a five-year, 500-catch guy instead of a guy that at best was probably going to give you 2 years, 200-catch. I mean, Welker's coming to the end.
Sure, I agree. I get that.
You still
done
much.
I don't want that 100-catch guy in the slot anymore.
No, I know that. But
that's my problem with it.
Yeah, that's... Like I said, I'm trying to give Amendola the benefit of the doubt that you are good, you're going to work hard, you're going to get rid of the injury problems, you know, you had a little bad luck and you've gotten rid of that. But still, what have you done?
How have you advanced
long-term, you're good. But short-term, what have you done?
And now some people don't agree with me in terms of the offense having some flaws. Some people just point to the points scored, and that's a strong argument. This offense has been as good as any. That's a really strong argument. I think that the offense has got some flaws to it against specific defenses that have some ability, and those are the ones that you're going to see in the playoffs. Now,
I think everybody agrees with that. The trouble is you didn't add a playmaker.
Well, that's what
I
feel.
I mean, for whatever you want to argue Amendola is, playmaker's not one of them.
And that's what I'm talking about. I don't think this solves your problem offensively.
No, it does nothing.
And that's why I don't like it.
It can only create problems. It can't solve them.
It's not about...
That's why I say it's
Welker,
back to,
letting
what,
Welker
to
go. I don't,
Hernandez
that's
and,
okay.
and to some degree Gronkowski. The pressure's on them.
Those are your
$80 million extensions. Those are your guys that might have the... I mean, I think we all agree that Hernandez has the potential to make plays. You know, his little cutbacks to the inside, slip a guy, that kind of thing.
He's more of a playmaker than the other guys. Yeah, the Welkers.
So that's why
the,
I think there's pressure on those guys. You know, when you're trying to start a drive to win a Super Bowl, you can't have the ball go right through the triangle of your hands and just drop it. You know, when you take a big hit, you can't turn it into a pick the next play.
Sure.
You can't do those things if you're the centerpiece of an offense. Gronk's a little bit like Amendola. It's all about health with him. He's never disappointed when he stepped on a field, ever.
Right. Let's see.
But, you know, the Amendola stuff, you know, people say it's all about health. Has he always been productive when healthy?
No, but you have
his numbers don't really indicate that.
No, but that's where I do buy into. He's going to be better here with Brady, Gronk, and Hernandez than he was with Bradford, and if I could name others, I would, Gibson and somebody else.
Well, Steven Jackson's part of that wide receiver. You know, he catches a lot of balls out there, didn't he?
Right, but... Yeah. Don't tell me that offense is going to offer the same opportunities that this one will.
No one would say
that. There are opportunities to be had for anyone who enters this offense because of the other pieces. Yeah. It's why we rip Brandon Lloyd. Those numbers are fine. You didn't take advantage of the opportunities that could and should present itself as a member of this offense.
See, that's what I'm sort of envisioning Amendola.
He's not taking advantage of it.
He's going to have numbers that are going to look, see, I told, and I just don't think it's going to be the same.
Well, we'll see.
And because... He could average certain things, but if he never has plays, if he never has the Welker plays that he's had over the years, people forget Welker has made plays.
Of course
he's not
he
a
has.
Playmaker, and some of his plays are indeed.
How many drives third and eight are longer?
No, but even
you know,
I'm
Welker
saying,
extends.
He's made plays where he's gotten down the field. He's that 99-yard play. That's a play. You know, you got to have one of those every once in a while. I mean, there's an opportunity to make.
Yeah, and I'm sure Amendola has some of those too, but.
It's hard to have those in average 8 yards a catch.
Yeah, well,
it's
really
hard.
It's hard to have those in average 10
unless
a catch,
you have
too,
a million 1 yard catches.
No, but that's my point.
But that's our point, you know. And that was always my being the detractor of Wes, and I was the only one. But that was my point. Yeah, you make a play or two here or there, but you still only average like 10 yards a catch. You know, and that's...
But that's not always his fault.
Light years more than...
That's what he's asked.
Light years more than...
But again, it is circumstantial. Where did those 10 yards of catches... You know, if they came...
Well, he didn't have a high percentage of first downs as much as you make it out to be.
Well, yeah, it's because he catches a billion passes.
Right.
But
it's impossible to average 10 yards a catch...
But how many of the Patriots...
And catch
100
balls...
Right.
You can't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Not as high as you think it is.
Well, forget about percentage. How many of the Patriots' first downs went to Welker? You know, I think he was
I don't
a big
have the
part,
number in front of me. I just don't think
part
it's as high as you think it is.
No,
that's
I would all. Argue the other. How many of their third downs went to Welker?
Okay.
That'd be the argument I'd ask.
Yeah.
What percentage of third downs went through Wes Welker?
Right.
Converted.
I mean, just the eyeball. He was a big part of it. Let's not, diminish this guy's contribution.
Well, that's what we do when a guy leaves.
You can't blame me on that.
No, you've been diminishing him from day one.
Thank you.
The only week
I just
you didn't
that,
was after the Miami
but I
game
want
when
that,
he had 99 yards
I want
and you gave him $55
stated,
million.
I want that, because that's, to me, this is not hindsight for me.
No, you're right.
I'm
paid
fine.
Him all along. Loose change from day one.
Now that's see, why do you got to do that? I'm fine with letting him go. I just don't want to be, deemed the Patriots suck-up now who, whatever the Patriots do, I'm on board. That's not what I'm
no
saying.
No one will ever accuse you of being a Patriots
well,
suck-up.
I mean, I do have a segment called Sunshine.com. You know, like, that's what I do.
With two idiots.
Well,
two complete.
Be that as it may.
By the way, yes, compared to them, you're a suck up. But they're like serial killers compared to you in terms of Patriots.
I'm not on board with this move because I think it's the right. That's what the Patriots did. Bill, I trust. That's not why I'm on board with the move.
That's Fred. That's his role on the show.
Even Fred's not there today. I'm proud of Fred.
You like this move, Fred?
Fred's offering
all
sides.
I'd rather have Wes Welker.
Fred's offering all sides.
So you don't like this move?
I think it was unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Yeah. If you wanted Wes Welker, if you ran the show and wanted Wes Welker would be here, right?
It depends on what happened.
No, but it wouldn't have gotten down to the timing.
Well, maybe
it wouldn't have gotten.
Well,
I blame both parties here. I mean, basically they played chicken with each other until the end.
Yes,
and then one
it was brinksmanship.
It's like when they tell you to go to the car dealership. you have to be willing to walk away.
Right.
You know, you have to be willing to say, all right, I'm going to. But this is like the case of you walked away, you went down the street to the other Honda place, bought your Accord, and then you drove by the, and they go, oh, I would have given it to you for $1,000 less. You know,
right.
Well, I left and I went and bought a car. Right. At some point, I had to walk away.
Right.
You know, we had talked for a long time back and forth at some point, and that's how it played out.
Right. I agree.
That's why I don't really, I'm like Paul, I don't fault any one side here, and I kind of buy the timing issue. The fault comes to me long before Tuesday. Whether it's the tampering period, when Wes Welker's people should know you are not getting your four-year, $32 million deal or your three-year, $27 million, you should know that $14 million, $15 million is going to be the absolute top of your market. Just like I blame the Patriots back and forth. If you really wanted him, it wouldn't have gotten to Tuesday. It would have happened in the last 2 years when you could have signed a deal. And I blame both for they should have had a deal last year, a three-year deal. Well, yeah, you both screwed it up.
Yeah.
You asked for too much, and you gave too little or whatever.
I think we've all said, even long before this, that this was going to be tough. This was going to be a tough business decision for the Patriots.
Right, and in the end, no matter, I was banking on Welker being a pushover.
Yeah.
I was banking on
him not being willing to walk away.
And
that's why I'm surprised that he did leave.
Now, you could blame David Dunn and say Dunn talked him into walking away or something. I don't.
I love how Fred does that.
Because the one thing that I give him credit for, and I think this is the difference, is the Manning. I think there were a couple teams he would have left for. And I think Manning was one of them. The Broncos, Manning, he sees that and says, I got a chance to win a Super Bowl there.
I can do there what I did
Weren't
here.
They a number one seed? Didn't they win 13 games?
And if he does do that there,
and
that
he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Paul's right about his legacy.
He goes to the
that
Hall
helps
of Fame.
His legacy even more.
Yeah,
he falls
I do
on
think.
His face.
I do think there's an element of that, you know, because he's
is he a
even
Patriots
now,
Hall of Famer?
Even now he's
because now it's done.
Yep,
now it's definitive.
Now,
so he's in. If I'm voting, he's
Patriots
not.
Hall of Fame.
Yes, he's not. If Fred,
but Fred, voting. Not a Patriots Hall of Famer.
No, I'm only kidding.
Wait, I want you to be serious.
I'd have to think about it.
5 years. Oh no, wait, is it 5 years from now or 5 years from retirement? 5 years.
No,
from retirement.
4 years. It's 4 years.
4 years
for the Patriots.
From retirement. I believe
it's 5 years for the regular Hall of Fame.
No, but
we
it's
do
4 years
earlier.
From retirement.
So
oh, from retirement.
At least 6 years.
I mean,
from
who knows? He could always come back, right?
That's true.
Like Deion Branch.
Right. What if you had Deion Branch in the Hall of Fame already? You know, can he tarnish his legacy?
Right.
He's the only
Eric,
active
everything
member.
All right?
Yeah, at the doctor's office. I've been trying to schedule.
I noticed your avatar on Twitter. You're going with the sunglasses now.
That was just the most recent photo from Africa.
Oh, okay.
So I just felt like changing it up for a little bit. Okay. Don't worry. The old one isn't going to be gone forever.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Freddie and the Gang says, Aaron, I watched the NFL Football Life Cleveland 95 last night. It reminded me that Bill Belichick isn't a football genius. He is the football genius.
At least if you ask him.
It also made me wonder if he paid to have that run last night, but I digress.
Nothing about last night. I wonder if he just paid to have
well,
that run.
Well, he paid
run.
To have it made
Period.
First, and then he said, you know what? Got a little bad PR today. Maybe we can run that tonight?
So this long-distance listener on
what
Listener Crime
doing?
Goes out to
There's
all...
phone calls left and right here. We're doing a radio show.
Well, but Paul's could be, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
is
that
his career?
Right.
Is his agent?
Yeah.
Is his agent David Dunn?
Could be. So this long...
He wouldn't be here if it was.
So this long-distance listener on Listener Crime goes out to all the pathetic crybaby fans that are up in arms over letting Wes go. Shut up, you overreacting, know-nothing fans. This is the best thing for the Patriots, and here's why. One.
Oh, I like this.
Before signing with the Patriots, Amendola was being pursued by the Broncos. Bill had to swoop in and keep a player like that from going to the biggest threat in the AFC. I think how good the Broncos would have been if they got their hands on a guy who could play that good in the slot. Welker was only going to be signed for 2 years. He would be too old to extend past that. And then who would we have to when Brady hits his prime? The Patriots had to get Amendola as the long-term solution. Three, finally the Patriots get a big wide receiver. Welker's only a measly 5'9". Amendola is 3% taller. Larger targets means easier for Brady. Think about Brady being 3% more accurate than he is today. And hello, red zone. Gronk better be prepared to lose some targets to that other big body. Four.
Can I interject for a second? Because I don't know where this is ending. Two bits of news. Well, it just seems like it's going on forever. Mike Giardi is reporting, so take it with a grain of salt. that the Patriots got $2.5 million back from the Fanene thing.
Oh, they that finally got resolved?
Yeah. Which is good. So that automatically gets added to the cap, right? So now they're at 27.5 million or 28 million that they won't spend.
Could have used that for Walker.
And Sean Smith's what?
How does that work on the cap exactly?
Well, because it counted towards the cap, the bonus money, the
$4 million. Well,
last
year.
If it counted last year and you're getting it
back. And you're getting it back, you're probably getting a rebate.
Wherever it counted, you're getting it back. $2.5 million. So add that to the
I blame the Redskins, but go ahead.
And Sean Smith's deal with Kansas City is 3 years, $18 million, $11 million guaranteed. Would you give that to Aqib Talib?
Yes.
I would.
That low?
It'd be close.
I got to think that's starting to set the market for him, right? I mean, Sean Smith, people thought was going to be better. You know, no baggage. He's big.
Well, I don't think he's that good a player, but the baggage, definitely, you're absolutely right.
I'm the biggest bring back Talib guy there is on the planet, and I don't think he's that good a player.
Yeah, but I really think Sean Smith is a borderline jag. I really do. But he has no baggage.
A lot of free agents who Paul thinks are jags are signing.
Getting double-digit guarantees in a depressed market.
$11 million. I'd give it to him, though. I'd bring back Talib. 3 years, 18, 11.
Can we take a quick break?
Why is that?
Because I need to tell you something that we can't talk about on the air.
All right. Kevin, you ready for a quick break?
Right?
We'll be right back.
Okay, no soccer. Are we?
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank.
More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to
try. Called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Head down and your mouth shut like I would.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We heard rumors that Danny Amendola is actually inside Gillette Stadium. So if we can track him down, we're going to try to get him on air before we go off air at 3 o'clock. I hear he's with the one and only B-Lo right now.
B-Lo.
So even
if we don't get him.
At worst case,
he'll be on Patriots.
And that would be the worst
case.
You'd see him on Patriots today. But best
and
case.
Potentially all access.
Hopefully he makes it out of the interview healthy.
Right. We'll get
hopefully
him.
He gets a chance to speak with B-Lo's done babbling.
It's a tough crowd.
I mean, you could replace Webb. I'm not saying you will replace. I'm not saying you've been injured.
In all seriousness, we are efforting that. So hopefully we can touch base.
And I just want to give Fred credit. People don't know. You know, it's behind the scenes radio. We took that break. We heard about Amendola. Fred little run out to try to maybe grab him. And ran down the tunnel, and came back and was not in any way out of breath, or he was ready to go as soon as the mics came on.
Well, how much do you think he ran with a boot on?
Well, he made pretty good time.
He did make pretty good time.
Through KSP in the tunnel and the field and everything, and he is a one-legged man right now.
So you guys don't know, I just sat outside and smoked a cigarette.
Gil Santos.
All right. Oh, God, so many emails. Let's go to a call. Patrick in Brooklyn. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Guys, how you doing? By the way, let me first begin by saying you guys are doing an outstanding job as usual.
Thank you. Does anything we say make sense to, like, you know, someone? Because it's hard.
I feel like we've
knowing what the fans
today.
Think. You know, when we're talking. You know, what do you think so far of what we've said?
Well, this is what I believe. I was going to make the same comments that I believe it may have been Andy Hart that made. He had said something regarding the fact that. You know, Amendola coming in for welcoming, not necessarily be an upgrade, but I look at this Amendola situation. I think that He's just a little faster than Wes. And in the playoffs, the thing that really affects New England, which is a team that really controls the middle of the field better than anyone, is that they tend to bottle up that short passing game in the playoffs. A lot of teams really know how to defend it well, and it's sort of a weakness once you get to the playoffs. During the regular season, you know, the team's really good with it. Then things start to fall apart a little bit when you get to the playoffs. But I'll say this. The tight end that they signed from the Giants, assuming that they can re-sign him for this year coming up, I think his name is Greg Ballard or
Jake.
Whatever his name is. He's a tremendous player also in the middle of the field.
He's already under contract for this year.
Okay, great. So then between Hernandez, Ballard, and Gronkowski, assuming Gronkowski comes back, that'll make them that much stronger, not including the receiver part of the middle of the field. I think if this guy, Amendola, can stretch the field just a little bit more than Wes would, then it potentially could help New England. Now, re-signing Wes would not have been a bad idea, except that you could see what's going on. This is personal. I believe that they haven't gotten over that drop, that, you know, the Brady drop, the drop against the Giants in that Super Bowl. I don't think they ever got over that. That's just, you know, my opinion. I think that the playoff drop against the Ravens further cemented to them that, you know what, this guy is really good, but in some critical moments, he's hurt us. So I think that went into their thinking, and they probably really believed they could live without him because the money could not have been the issue. It's too small an amount to think that that's why they didn't re-sign Wes. I think it's a personal issue. The other thing I wanted to mention is that there has been talk that Lloyd may get cut because, not just for production, but that the guy is sort of a weird guy and they don't like him in the locker room. And then lastly, if this DB got signed by Kansas City or St. Louis, whoever signed this other DB that was being talked up, New England now, the market's been set. Hopefully they can bring Tlaib back in because losing Chung, he was a safety, but you could see what happened. That Baltimore game, it changed completely when Tlaib went out of the game. If they could get him, even if it's overpaying a little bit, I think it would make sense to bring him in. And Bill Belichick's got to understand, I know he's got his parameters for every player, but occasionally in the sports world, the player's got to win some of these negotiations. You can't win every negotiation and expect that you're going to get to the pinnacle. Occasionally, players got to win, too. Those are my thoughts. Love to hear back from you guys, and keep up the good work.
All right, Patrick in Brooklyn. What do you think?
Very good email. I mean, call.
Well, that whole win the negotiations a big Felger-ism that, you know, that's what it's all about with them. They have to take it to the final.
We have to win every negotiation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it's about. I mean, maybe.
I don't know if that's relevant in this case. What's the matter?
What did you get?
Sorry,
sidetracked by?
Bo was
on.
Bo was on?
Did you hear Bo is now advertising for 5-Hour Energy?
Yeah.
That's all I thought of was Paul, like, doing his Bo thing, but on 5-Hour. Bo. I still think it gets back to the value. Maybe I'm totally wrong here, but to me, you can tie almost every decision this team makes back to value, back to a number, back to frugality, back to, and, you know, it's funny, it popped into my head because I was watching, I think it last night, they did the top 10 worst free agent signings, and very high on the list is Andre Rison going to the Browns in 95. That's a Belichick signing, right?
Which one?
Andre Rison going to the Browns in 1995. If they were
that
still
was
the Browns,
Belichick's
that
last
was
season.
Him.
Yeah. Yes.
Because
yeah.
he
yes.
was never with the Ravens.
Yeah.
So.
I was a little confused for a second. Yes.
So, I mean, you know, people always talk about the lessons he learned in Cleveland. I don't know what he learned by that. You know, I don't know what he learned by drafting a fullback with the 8th overall pick or whatever the hell Tommy Vardell was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it
I think there are these
you don't have any
frugality lessons that I just think are at his base and everything kind of spews off those.
Tammy in New York writes in, hey, PFW and Big Head, I'm so disappointed with the Welker news, but didn't we see the writing on the wall since last offseason? I love Welker, and what he and Tom accomplished together would never be forgotten, and he will be greatly missed. There's no point in dwelling in what was. I'd like to focus on what happens next. I always thought our offense needs to evolve anyway, since almost every other team has copied what we did with the multiple tight end sets, and teams are better prepared to defend it. How does this offense continue to evolve? It's going to involve a combination of Hernandez, Edelman, and Amendola, or is it someone else? We as fans will move on. I just hope people like Tom and other players can as well. It's disappointing, but what other options are available now? Right? Well, you got to move on.
The outside threat is an option. I mean, as a rookie, as a draft pick. And Shane Vereen is an option. Don't tell me that if Shane Vereen can become not a three-touchdown guy every week, but if that was a sample of the ability he brings on a 16-game basis, don't tell me that Shane Vereen couldn't add another dimension to this offense.
Changes your style of offense.
Right. So, I mean, there are ways to change your offense each and every year. I mean, we didn't see the Gronk Hernandez change coming until it was already here. Right? They drafted two guys. Right. They were very much impressed with them. You know, Bill O'Brien raved about him when I talked to him last week at the coaches clinic, raved about how good those guys were from the get-go and picking up the offense and all that. I mean, so we don't know, and they don't. If they draft Terrence Williams, sure, he could be another bust. He could be Chad Jackson, part deux, or he could be, you know, Torrey Smith.
Why did you have to go French there?
I don't know.
I would be excited, though, if they, you know, a Terrence Williams type, someone that I thought could stretch the field. The changes that they could have, you know, Andy brought up like a guy like Vereen. I think that's just a continuation of stretching the field sideline to sideline. I want to see sort of a vertical guy, thrown into the mix.
I like when those come out. Yeah. Robin, Patriots play the game horizontally. They need to play the game vertically.
Exactly.
Robin and
11 personnel.
Robin in Alaska writes in, the most frustrating thing about this offseason so far isn't Welker leaving, it's Lloyd staying. Am I right? Well, we'll see. let's see.
Do you think there's any chance he stays?
Yes.
Based on all the smoke
we've
heard? Really?
I do. Yeah. I mean, considering the seemingly weight that Josh McDaniels has on the personnel decisions on the offensive side, I think there is a chance that he stays.
Are we making too much of that?
No.
Oh.
I mean,
I don't think we are.
I mean, Brandon Lloyd.
So Bill wants him to go, but Josh says, listen, I want him to stay, and he stays?
Brandon Lloyd.
Now, I'm going to cut ties with that. I think he's going to go, but I don't think we're making too much of the sway that Josh McDaniels has over personnel decisions.
Brandon Lloyd stood up there and said, one of the reasons I'm here is because of the credibility that Josh gave me.
His quote of the year. Maybe the quote of the year with this team.
You know? So
anybody?
Yeah.
It's a short list.
That's true. That's
and it was a football-related Patriots team quote that I agree wholeheartedly with. Mm. It's what we said all year. He wouldn't be getting this rope to work with if he wasn't Josh's binky.
Let's see. Scott writes in, I'm wearing black today. Here are the top 10 reasons why Wes is no longer here. One.
This is the Letterman show.
Number one, or should I do from 10? I don't know which is his best one, but I'll do the...
You read him and be the judge real quick.
His durability and ability to take a hit is making your other high-priced receiving threats look bad. Number two...
Be the laugh track?
Number two reason why he's
not
here. I'm
going to go with that's the 10th.
His production after Randy Moss left did not go down as expected, thereby costing the Patriots $50,000 per catch. Number three, he made fun of a fat Belichick groupie in New York before a playoff game.
Oh.
Number four, with Edelman gone and the medical staff was getting bored waiting for an injury to a slot receiver. Number five, Giselle ordered the hit. Number six.
I kind of like that one.
Attorneys for the team told Mr. Kraft that sending Wes out for another year of excessive hits will result later in lawsuits as he gets even smaller. I don't know what that means. Number seven, he would not get the arm extension that he asked to get. ARM. I don't know what that is. Number eight, he missed a whole game on time in 6 years, meaning he must be due. Number nine, Bill does not want his players to be called nice little players by someone in the media, on payroll or not. And the final
I won't be making that call with the next guy.
The final reason why Wes Welker is no longer here, he could not break Brady of the habit of depending on him on third down. Okay. Well,
who was that?
Scott.
Good effort.
Yeah.
Poor execution.
Yeah. So Scott has his Letterman top 10 list. John writes in, who performed better without Brady, Welker with Miami or Amendola? If, and this is a big if, Amendola can stay reasonably healthy, he could have potentially more upside than Welker based on the fact that he has done well without Brady. Brady is only going to make him much better.
Like, what's the upside? Do you literally think Amendola is going to catch 140 passes for 1,800 yards? Because
right.
Welker has caught 120, and on his best year, Paul, when you fell in love with him, what was it, like 1,475 yards or something 2 years ago or three, whatever the year was you gave him the extension?
I don't recall. I fell in love with him in a weak moment.
So, do you really think he's going to be better?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't always like to be, like, over-the-top loyal to the last guy like I was with Troy Brown and now Welker, but do you really think he's going to catch 140 balls every year instead of 120?
If he has half that, but he has twice the touchdowns, well, how would you feel about that?
Depends.
What's the
if they're plays, I'd feel good.
If he has half the catches
and
twice the touchdowns, how would you feel?
If they're plays, I like it.
I'd like that.
But if they're like when Paul says, here's where they get Brady his third touchdown pass,
first and goal from the half a yard line, flick one to it when they set a pick and they get him.
Right, but if he's catching, 15-yard touchdowns, making plays, slants, then I'll say, that's pretty good.
But still, if you get 12 touchdowns, I'll like that. That's twice. I mean, what's-his-face had six last year, right?
I'm told that...
he had 9 2 years ago.
No, I know. That was his
up-year. That was the abnormal.
That was when you gave him $55 million.
Bad news. I'm told Amendola is not available today. He's planning on doing a conference call tomorrow. He just recorded a segment that will air on Patriots.com tomorrow morning.
What else is new?
And on Patriots All Access tomorrow night. So he is not available.
What else is new?
I have no comment.
Philippe in Montreal says, I'm addicted to
I'd like to Philippe off who just sent you that email.
I'm addicted to your show since this year's playoffs and listen to it at work whenever there is a new show. Your shows sure helped me mourn the loss to Baltimore and to move on. Well, I'm back to mourning all over again with the West trade. Denver made the perfect trade and will be lethal. Well, it wasn't a trade.
Yeah.
Manning plus Welker sounds very similar to Brady plus Welker. Welker will do well at Denver. Not so sure he would have done well anywhere else with any other quarterback.
So Welker, I have Welker's stats here. Two seasons with Miami, 05 and 06. 16 games played each season.
All right, Amendola's
out.
That's
it.
Yep, it's over right there. 96 catches, over 1,000 yards. It doesn't have the totals. I'm just going. But the,
so about 45 catches a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had 60-something catches the last year. What did he have the first year?
So he must have had 35.
Okay. Right. Greg Bedard saying, the Patriots did not win back the $2.5 million from Fanene. It was ruled they could proceed with the hearing to attempt that.
Ah.
Mike Giardi gets me again.
Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport earlier said that it won't necessarily be on the cap right away. Hearing it was physical because he hadn't I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how far back the Ian Rappaport thing was, but he talked about it might not come right away on the cap. So on Patriots Vanene, this is Ian Rappaport now, may not affect 2013 cap. May not. Didn't say it did not. This was a hearing on if the Patriots could legally get the money after full case, then they can somehow get the money. So it sort of backs up what Greg said. This was just a hearing to see if they could pursue the money.
If it's even possible to get the money.
Right. So
not that they get the money.
So they didn't get the money back yet.
And I'm guessing what Ian's going with is depends on when that next hearing comes.
Correct.
And how that all plays out.
That would be my. But that's how I'm reading it.
It's mildly irrelevant. They could get $2.5 million on the cap either this year or next year. They could get it back. So Fanene pockets $1.5 million. He's guaranteed to keep for being here for 4 months. And
hey, Edwin says that if we go a fourth hour, he'll buy lunch.
Dinner.
Next week?
I assume, yeah. We already had lunch today.
Even
I'm not that fat.
In the Steve...
I can't. I got to go. Yeah, but you guys can...
No, I got to go, too.
In the Steve Buckley line of like, questioning and
stuff
writing...
Stuff before I go to Arizona.
Are you guys... When do you leave for Arizona?
Sunday.
Like, next week?
Owner's meeting.
He's got to buy a new outfit.
Are you guys, like, intrigued by the whole Brady Manning Welker angle of this?
Yes,
like
very much so.
But not even from the Welker standpoint. We've talked about that. Okay, if he goes there and wins a Super Bowl, it helps his legacy, blah, blah, blah. But just like you know, what we talked about earlier, the people that have caught passes from both, mm-hmm. and the Adam Vinatieri leaves one, takes the other to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Sort of that whole tying, more things to tie this whole era together.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. That fascinates me.
Absolutely does. I mean, it just, it adds to the rivalry between the two guys.
I think it's a fascinating aspect of this that most Patriots fans don't want to hear. But, you know, if he goes there and they, you know, again, if we can get the AFC title game, Patriots, Broncos, Welker, Manning, Brady, phenomenal.
Yeah, ratings would be ridiculous. Ratings for television would be ridiculous.
I would just be giddy as a football fan.
Let's go. And you wouldn't have to go because it would be in Denver.
Let's go quickly to Anthony in Reno on the A's Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
Negative.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Who is this?
Great. Kind of disappointed we didn't retain Welker. You know, he was tough, worked really hard, and was committed to winning at all times, but like they say, everything has to come to an end. One other thought is, you know, I'm tired of us not getting younger receivers, like drafting them, because apparently Brady has a problem not trusting them. I believe that if Brady would step outside of his comfort zone and actually help groom a young receiver instead of, you know, using his legacy and all that other stuff, get in the way of saying, oh, I don't trust this guy, let's get rid of him. It would really, I guess, unmask how good of a leader he is.
So, Anthony, you know? You're saying that Tom Brady is the reason why these guys don't catch on. And it's because he's worried about his legacy?
Well, I think it's because, you know, you either are on the same page with him, or you're very close to it, or he just loses faith in you. And I think,
and I might agree with that, but not because he's worried about his legacy.
Okay, well, that was probably a poor choice of words, but I just feel like if he could take one receiver and he could help him out and be a little bit more patient and maybe do a little bit more after, even though he already works his ass tail off. Brady.
Was that an ass tail you said?
Ass tail.
Yeah.
Well done.
It'd be really good for a young receiver to get in there and actually have time and Brady have patience with him to develop him. I know it's not solely him. I mean, it comes down to also the wide receiver having good football intelligence, having that work ethic.
Well, I think to a point I agree with you. I think that, you know, putting in the extra work with a given receiver helps. But Tom Brady's not the receiver's coach here. He's the quarterback, and he's got to work with all the receivers. I don't know if necessarily, maybe now he would if he had a young receiver, but during the season, if he has time to, you know, take a receiver under his wing and work with him exclusively, he just doesn't have time to do that.
I don't know about during the season because we don't see it, but Ocho Cinco in training camp got so much extra time on the other field. So, I mean, there's time to be had with Tom Brady. So that is one side of it. But the other side is, like, I mean, I'm torn on this because I think it's a possibility that Brady is an aspect of the lack of development of the young guys.
We've talked about that.
And Bill O'Brien does not agree. I asked him that. He does not agree. But the other, you know, the Gronkowski Hernandez, both of them coming in and carving out roles for themselves, would seem to fly in the face of that. Did he have to do anything extra with them to get them to develop? Or are they just crazy perfect fits?
But they're over the middle. And I think maybe that's his comfort. Maybe it's not the receiver. Maybe it's the route and where he's throwing on the field.
Maybe
his comfort
point.
Is the middle
that's
of the
really
field.
Good point.
And,
I wonder if maybe the arm isn't quite what it used to be. And he doesn't have the same level of confidence throwing the ball outside the numbers, particularly as you push it downfield. That's a really
very
good point, Fred.
So I don't.
And
look,
Fred's proud of himself.
I don't know if it's. If
I feel
it's
like
accurate.
I just hurt Tom Brady, and I feel bad about that.
No, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I never really thought of it that way because I have been one of those guys that has said I think he's part of the development problem because he loses patience and. You know, that first thing, if there's not like this instant connection, he sort of turns the page. But I wonder if it's not so much that as it is his ability to throw the ball in certain areas of the field. And I never really thought of it that way. And I wonder if that's part of it.
But what, I mean, he threw to the outside on her,
Lloyd. Lloyd caught passes. But
comebacks and fades and, back shoulder fades.
But,
and
I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, and this is like a Fred eyeball test, but the lack of connection, first of all, the percentage was really down. You guys had the numbers on the Brandon Lloyd
barely
targets.
Barely 50%.
Right? The Brandon Lloyd targets. Don't you think that it seemed like there was more times outside the numbers where they weren't connecting?
Yes.
Almost than they were?
No, but I'm saying the
willingness
to throw
those. Most of his
catches
were, if you throw away the 20 screens from the first month of the season, I'm not sure that there was a great rapport on these balls outside the numbers.
No, but I'm just saying the willingness to throw them.
Yeah, well, I think.
If we're talking about a lack of willingness to throw them.
I think part of that is.
Now, maybe get back to the Lloyd quote. That was my credibility. Yes. And maybe McDaniel, we got to keep going to him.
You got
to
do it.
If he's not saying that about Taylor Price or Chad Jackson or any of these guys.
No, they weren't.
Right, no. And have you seen this thing called the pocket hose?
I have. It's intriguing. I wonder
but
if it
sounds
really,
dirty.
I wonder if it really works.
I got a pocket hose for you right here.
It's an expanding garden hose.
I got an expanding garden hose.
I know you. Let's go to John in Wisconsin. Hey, John.
What the hell is going on over here?
I just laughed from your last comment. thanks for keeping me, give me a lifeline back home. Just two quick things I want to throw out there. I'll let you discuss it. One, if we're so bad at drafting wide receiver talent, and we're always drafting, we'll say, next year's draft and the draft after in the high 20s.
That's the one I like.
Why not give a pick to the Giants and get Victor Cruz, who's not only a deep threat, but seems his big thing is he catches everything thrown at him. So that's number one. Number two, am I the only one that saw that Bernard Pollard was released and said, we need this guy because he's going to smack people in the mouth?
No, you're not. We got
Eight million emails.
The minute he was released, we got a bunch of people who
just
agree
imagine
with
how many Patriots he would hurt if he was practicing with him every day.
Rodney Harrison, everybody thought, well, I moved out here 12 years ago, guys, but I still, I'm drinking coffee from my Patriots mug right now.
There you go.
So, but,
sure it's not Kool-Aid?
I mean, Rodney Harrison came here. People said, oh, he can't cover. He's terrible in pass defense. Well, yeah, he came here but got better. But he smacked people in the mouth, and he'll bring a toughness that we don't have. Just have one guy named Brandon Spikes. I mean, I just think he's only 28 years old. So
plus,
that's my two big things. Give the Giants a damn first rounder in 2014, a fourth rounder in 2015. Bring in a Victor Cruz. Bring in a Bernard Pollard. And then do whatever else you need to get done. And what you guys said something the other day made a lot of sense. If just a lot of the players we had last year stayed healthy, we would have gotten better. And then you give that year two jump. So that's all I wanted to throw out there. Thanks a lot for taking my call, guys, and have a great day.
All right, John in the great state of Wisconsin.
Good call.
Well, two
Another
problems
good call.
There. It's not just a first-round pick. It's X number of dollars. I don't know what – I mean, I haven't really been following that close
right.
enough
you have
to
pay the guy.
Whether they, I mean, is he looking $60 million like Harvin and Wallace, those types of deals?
I mean, he's
– Probably.
I think he's a $10 million year player, right?
Well, they got more than that, right?
But I think that's kind of where you're starting.
Are those 5-year deals or six?
He's not going to get less than that.
He's young, he's productive, he's won Super Bowls.
He's not going to get less than $10 million a year, I don't think.
And, well, I mean, he's a restricted free agent. So Mike Wallace didn't get his deal until the next year. He had to play out his...
True.
Yeah. But I think I know what you mean. He's that type of player.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. He can ask for the world. It's not, the other end of it's ridiculous. I saw people on the NFL Network on that terrible morning show saying, well, the market's now set for slot receivers. It's $6 million a year. Wait, what? You think Victor Cruz is the same as these guys?
Right. No,
and they're not even close.
Percy Harvin just got
not
10 plus
right.
million a year.
Ridiculous. So,
in the same day.
Don't watch that show.
NFL Network morning show?
Check. and then the thing on Bernard Pollard is, I kind of agree with him. My first reaction was, well, Rodney Harrison said we needed a safety like Bernard Pollard. How about
Bernard Pollard?
But I saw somebody tweeted an anonymous GM that said, quote, he'll be on his fourth team in 4 years. What does that tell you? Now, I don't know what that means at all. But that's sort of the Brandon Lloyd thing.
Exactly.
Usually there's a reason guys bounce around from team to team to team. And it's not just because they hurt Patriots.
I'm not a huge Bernard Pollard fan. I think that he has made some high-profile hits, and that is sort of...
And, maybe he looks good. Ed Reed's back there with him. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think he played all that well this year. Yeah. I don't think that he was a very good player.
No, but
he made a big hit in the AFC Championship game. I think people remember that.
None of those guys... I mean, unless it's Troy Polamalu. I mean, who of that style player is considered...
Like, I'll give you an example. But I'll give you an example of a guy who I wasn't overly high on. I think LeRon Landry played really well this year for the Jets. Now, the Jets stunk. but I saw them play.
John Lynch.
I think
took a second to.
I think Landry had a pretty good year this year for them. I saw him around the ball a little bit, and I thought he, you know, maybe now this might be one of those typical contract type things. He was a free agent, didn't really get a ton of interest, signed a 1 year deal,
right?
And maybe he said, you know what, I got to do something this year. And,
what did he get? Did he get a 1 year deal again, or what did he get in Indy?
I don't know. I didn't even know he had signed until you guys said it today.
I think it was 1 year, but I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think he got much this year.
But I think that he had a pretty good year, and I don't think Pollard played as well as he did.
Yeah, I didn't watch enough of either of them. I just don't think there are, A, that many good safeties in football.
Well, that's been Fred's point ever since Brandon Merriweather.
I don't really think there are that many, you know, physical Rodney Harrison pounding type safeties in football.
And I think you're going to see less and less because more often than not, those guys end up getting called for penalties.
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah.
Right? James writes in, I love this.
Those guys get a lot of penalties.
DJ Swearinger.
Oh, no, my bad. No. Sorry. Hang on.
Wait, stupid Mike Giardi over here?
No. The first line of the story was mentioning a one-year deal he signed with the Jets, burying the lead. 4 years, $24 million, $14 million guaranteed.
Got more of the plus 50% rule.
So that's a decent contract for a safety. I think he had a pretty good year. I do. And I did not, I'm not trying to have, you know, 2020 hindsight, I did not think that was a, I know the Patriots almost signed him last year, and I was sort of glad they didn't because I didn't think he was worth it. And it looks like he proved me wrong.
I just wanted to see his arms and how big they were in person.
Yeah.
Kind of the Adrian Wilson approach this year. I want to see how big he is in person.
James writes in, I love this deal. Amendola's 27, Welker's 32. Danny is faster than Welker and has better hands. He's more athletic. The only question is health. If Amendola remains healthy, this deal would be looked at in 5 years as a tremendous deal.
It could.
The Patriots started the free agency market with $27 million in cap space. They have earmarked a certain number to the slot. That they gave Danny $5 million, leaving them with $22 million in cap space. I fully expect those dollars to get spent. They can afford to get two of the following players, Tlaib, Shields, or Keenan. If they pull that off, we will not miss Welker in Bill I Trust.
Right. So
Shields? Who's Shields? Help. And Keenan?
I didn't Lewis. Bring my list with me today.
Oh, Keenan Lewis. I thought he
signed already.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I thought there was a guy.
So I guess he doesn't trust
Keenan.
Bill that much anymore. Then.
Yeah. Yeah, but everyone's pointing, the big if Amendola stays
healthy.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's...
1 year out of four, he's played 16 games. So
give it to him, Paul.
You have a 25% chance that he's going to be
ball,
healthy.
Should be my uncle.
Aunt Camilla. If she had ball, she'd be Uncle Camilla.
She'd still kick your ass.
Yeah, she'd be Uncle Carmine.
She's like 92 now. She'd still kick your ass.
I'm okay with that.
It's not hard to do, Paul.
Jake writes in, I think Fred is on whatever scam Bill B is running. Apparently, he must be getting money for every dollar under the cap they can be. It's just hard to understand why they do not try to get an impact player on either side of the ball.
I have a question.
Each year they come close, but they
Fred's
just
mad.
Are missing the one
mad.
Player to get them there. I'm tired of getting value in place of production. How did their free agent class work out last year? They can never seem to get a receiver off free agency that Brady feels comfortable with. I think it could be my own fault, though. I get all excited to going into free agent with a boom after the Brady restructure, and the boom is replaced with the echoes of a long, wet fart.
For a quick update of the facts, Wes Welker jerseys are $35, down from $95.95.
Andy, we're going to make a run
Patriots
over there?
Pro Shop. What?
We're going to make a run over and get a couple for the kids?
Oh, I bet you the youth are even cheaper. I think this is a real, this is a adult.
Is that for an we keep hearing authentic that, adult?
No, that's a,
oh.
We
I'm
keep hearing the 27 Amendola, 32 Welker. Is Welker 32 right now?
No,
or
May
1st. 33 in May.
No, he'll be 32 in May.
Okay, well, Amendola will be 28
right
during the season.
So it's about a four-year difference.
Okay, so but we've added a year to one, and we've
and kept
another
year.
Guy
right.
The same. There's a four-year difference, not a five-year difference.
Such exactly. A stickler for detail.
All right.
Well, but that to me, that's a big difference because I don't think 28 is all that young.
Oh, are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
We should go first.
It's actually past 3 o'clock. We got to get going. Remember, Brian Lowe interviewed Danny Amendola today, so you'll see that tomorrow morning on Patriots.com. And tomorrow evening, you'll see Danny Amendola on Patriots All Access.
Paul Perillo.
I'm told you're going to love him. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.